Call this meeting to order. We are ready to go. The TV got fixed, and y'all have on your desk a variety of papers: mandated expenses, mandated 1% on the levy, fees for services reviewed by Human Service Coalition agencies, Tompkins County local share budget, big printout that looks like this. And you have an agenda with a ton of resolutions on there, reductions on the front, both types on the back. And we're going to start with a very short discussion about mandates from Joe. And I'd like to spend about 10 minutes on that and get to the motions right away. Go ahead, Joe. Thank you.
And I will try to be brief. We talk a lot about mandates all the time because much of the business that we provide is dictated by mandates set by the state. Most of those are in the human service area, and they certainly have an effect on our budget every year when we come together. So I just thought that we should kind of highlight the mandates that are in our budget, how much they cost, what they've done from year to year, and also, I guess, to remind ourselves what a large part of our budget is, in fact, governed by mandates that are imposed by others, leaving not a heck of a lot of latitude in terms of what we can do with the budget that's not affected by mandates. So what I'd like to do is just look at two sheets that I've handed out. One is a one-pager. The title is Mandated Expenses. This is the sheet that Martha referred to earlier that in some years has been a part of your budget, in other years hasn't been. So again, it's Mandated Expenses, mandated-mandated there. It begins with the assigned council program, if everybody's looking at the same page.
I'm sorry, I can't find this. Is it on the table here? Okay. All right.
Yeah, copies?
I see it. Thank you. Sorry.
Excuse me, Kevin. Are there any extra copies? People are looking for handouts.
Yeah, we'll get more.
This is the traditional list of programs and program costs that have been included in the budget and identified as, I think, Class A mandates or hard mandates, or come under various descriptions. Beginning with the assigned council program, and I guess as I characterize these are really the items in our budget over which we have, I would say, the least control. Beginning with the assigned council program, as all of you know, the amount that we spend on that program is purely a function of the hourly rates that are set by New York State and the number of hours of service we provide to individuals who are eligible for this service. And you can see how that cost has changed over the recent past, and it is a significant growth. And that's not affected by change in rates. That's just a significant increase in the growth of those costs. So in the 2011 budget, $1.4 million, almost $1.5 million of our budget, our local dollar budget, is attributable to legal services provided to folks who can't afford their own attorney. Second item is outside community colleges. This is when kids who are residents of Tompkins County attend community colleges in other counties in New York State. And just as we don't want to raise our property taxes to pay for people who don't live here, neither does any other county in New York State. And the state has set rules and ways for counties to compensate each other for the cost of their residents attending other community colleges. This is the product of a pretty elaborate formula that I probably couldn't explain, even if you forced me to. But you can see that cost has gone up significantly over the past several years, and it's $375,000 in this year's budget.
How do you know that's going to increase?
Excuse me. Raise your hand, Peter, and go ahead.
How do you know that's going to increase?
Well, that goes. You can't predict it because it's based upon county residents going out to other schools.
And right, so no, changes, I understand.
But tuition has gone up every year. So And a lot of it determined how many will ultimately get in to the Fashion Institute in Manhattan, which has which costs about $3,000 a year per student.
Okay, so that's driven by the increase in the per student cost. Yeah.
It is.
Okay,
it is. And Peter, I think this year, although we adopted it $295, I'm pretty sure that our actual experience this year is more toward the mid $300,000 range. So we're really looking at what we're experiencing right now and trying to base next year on that.
But it's interesting to note that Tioga County does not have a community college, and they pay in this budget $3 million a year. We pay $2.5 million a year for our share of the college. They pay directly to, sort of like boarding out prisoners. Which makes sense. You know, you're paying for somebody else.
Next row down, preschool, special education. I think all of you know that these are services that we are obligated to provide to kids before they enter schools, 0 to 5, and I think this includes the early intervention program as well. I think it does. Here again, once a child has been diagnosed with a particular issue, challenge, disability, they are entitled to services. And the cost of those services is governed very closely by rates that are approved by New York State. So here, $3.1 million of our local dollar budget this year is dedicated for those services to young kids. The next couple are, they're mandated by the state. They might be in kind of a softer mandate category, jail boardhouse and jail medical. We are obligated to provide medical care to individuals in our custody. There's little we can do about that. Jail board outs, again, those are the number of prisoners who exceed our in-house capability to house. We have to pay these costs. They have been deemed here as a mandate, a little bit different, I would agree, than a more traditional mandate like the ones that I discussed earlier, but still costs over which we have very little control. We're obligated to provide a medical examiner, and that's in this basket at $90,000. We're obligated to provide hospitalization to individuals who are deemed unable or incompetent to stand trial, and that cost is $80,000 for those mental health services. And now we get back to the large items again. Economic security, named DSS. These are welfare costs, public assistance costs. And you can see that the cost in this year's budget is $3.75 million. It's up by 10% over last year's budget. When we talk about the pressure of mandates, this is one of the areas that is growing quickly because of underlying need of the community. And again, $3.7 million. There's been some reduction in the services to children and adults in DSS. I think it's due in part to reimbursement formulas and the way DSS is able to maximize revenue in those categories. And the last one is the big one. It's the one we always talked about because it's the largest single item in any county budget, and that's the cost of Medicaid. Here we've tried to clarify a bit because I know when DSS presented it was kind of hard to understand. Where's that 3% that we always talk about in terms of the growth rate in Medicaid? And we've tried to present it in this table to show you where it is. So the line you see there under Social Services Medicaid Program that rises from $11.29 million in 2010 to $11.6 million in 2011, that's really the baseline cost, local cost, of Medicaid in this county. And you can see it's up by a hair over 3%. As you get down toward there's a lower row that's called Adjustment for FMAP. That's the discount or subsidy that we've received over the past couple of years. And you can see in 2010, that discount was $1 million, and it dropped to $780,000 in the 2011 budget. So when you look at the baseline annual change in that first percentage category, you can see that the baseline mandate costs in this budget are up by 4.2%. And when you take into account the effect of FMAP, those costs are up by 5.5%. In all, and these are again, these are the most confining of our mandates. These represent about 52% of our entire proposed property tax levy for 2011. So I see hands. Why don't I stop there and I'll go to the next handout after I've answered those questions.
I have Frank, I have Julie, I have Peter, Martha.
Joe, the column marked 2011 tentative. If I went to our large budget book, I would find those are the same numbers that are in our large book,
yes.
Except that they're highlighted here, with
That's
the
correct.
Exception of the FMAP, which was relatively new.
Actually, everything that you see here is incorporated in our budget.
In
yes.
Our budget.
Yes.
Is there, are any of these potentially going to change before we vote on the budget? Because they may come out with some new wrinkle.
No. No. I mean, the wrinkle that concerns me the most, Frank, is that 1.1% across the board cut that we're just learning about right now. I know that that will not affect Medicaid, nor will it affect the economic security items. So the largest of these items shouldn't be affected by that. I'm not as certain about pre-K, preschool special education. But again, that's a 1.1% change in aid levels for all programs that are affected by
that. Well, that 1.1% is the one we talked about at the Health Committee and then at the budget at the board meeting the other night. We don't know yet what the impact on the agencies will be. Is that
outside agencies? That's correct. We do not.
One last question, Jim. The preschool special ed line. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, several of us went to Albany to argue as to why they needed to tweak this in a different way, and we were told that they were going to come back and cover some of these costs in the school budgets.
Yeah.
Do you know if there's any, I realize it's a couple of years old, mm-hmm. but are there any changes that we can anticipate there?
It's doubtful. I think Governor Patterson tried to propose some changes, which, frankly, looked to be a pure burden shift between counties and local school districts. There may have been some additional state participation, but it was mostly making the districts responsible for costs that are currently carried by counties at a time when school districts were under as much pressure, if not more, than counties. So politically, it was probably an impossibility to get through the state legislature.
But that's what we know. This reflects what we know right now.
It does.
Thank you.
Julie.
Are some of these just pass-through payments?
Yes.
Because you didn't mention which ones had that aspect.
Let me go through those then. Outside community colleges, we just write a check. We're sent a bill and we write a check. I'm going to hold the jail things for a minute. The psychiatric expense, we have no control. The institution sends us a bill, we write them a check. Economic security, those are the benefits provided to individuals. That's an entitlement, so that's basically a pass-through. We're transferring revenue, income to individuals. And I'll go back to the big one again. Medicaid is the most glaring example of that. We, you know, every week we are told how much we have to give the state, and we give the state that money.
Thank you. The other question I had was, what about pension benefit payment, pension system?
Interesting.
That's
and
not a mandate.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's and as I get into the next handout, the definition of mandates can be a little fluid, because I can tell you these days I would view that pension cost as a mandated expense. It's set by the state. The eligibility is set by the state. All that normally you associate with a mandate is in place. What the state may say is, you don't have to hire anybody if you don't want to.
Yeah.
So you control that. We've tried, and again, this will get to the next handout, and I know there's some other questions. We've tried to that program inventory approach, the impact statements that we did. We've tried to kind of recategorize our mandates to create a category of the hardest mandates, those over which we have very little control, like Medicaid. And then we've created a new category called mandate/discretionary, where we are told what we have to do, but given some latitude in how we do it, and that's really the next handout I have. The third is discretionary mandate. We don't have to do it, but if we do choose to do it, there are rules over how that happens in the discretionary basket. So, Dooley, there are some definitional things in here that are fairly fluid. Certainly pensions, we have little control over it, and all the rules, and therefore the costs are set by the state.
Peter.
There's a couple of numbers here that seem to flop around in a non-predictable way. Like, for instance, why preschool, special education, special ed went a 50% rise in 3 years. That's number one.
Yeah.
And another one that caught my eye is, it's not much money, but the medical examiner more than doubled in 3 years. And the last one is this social services to children and adults, which was $2.5 million 2 years ago, and now it's $1 million. And I just wonder, are there any easy explanations for those dramatic changes?
For one of them, it's fairly easy. For preschool special education, it's pretty easy, and I think Brenda's here. It's basically the volume of service provided, the number of children who are eligible for and receive this service.
So is that a change in our population or a change in rules by Albany?
I think it's just it's a change in population as opposed to rules. I don't know that the state made any rule changes that relax those rules to allow more.
Okay.
I think it's simply we have more kids who are eligible for it. In the services to children and adults, this one can bounce around a bit based on reimbursement formulas and how DSS, where they attribute revenues that come into the program. That's a part of it. That's kind of the complicated mechanical part of it. It also varies based on the number of kids who end up in foster care. I know you've talked a lot about preventive services. This is if there are consequences of that and more kids end up in foster care, this is the line item where you would see that. Medical examiner, I don't know if I can explain the medical examiner or not.
The medical examiner program currently has seen significant increases in the caseload that of decedents that are requiring autopsy and removals from the home. In fact, I just did an analysis of the 2010 budget, and compared to 2009 at this point, we've had a 38.5% increase in the number of autopsies that we've had to render this year compared to last year. So I'm projecting a deficit in that program at the end of 2010, which I just emailed to Kevin and or actually to David and to Joe today.
Thank you.
Martha?
Thank you. I really appreciate all this information coming to us. It's really important. I am puzzled about the total benefits and program costs are that line that says total mandates, and then you subtract out 2 years where we had some FMAP assistance. The title of that line, of that row, the second to the last row, total excluding FMAP, shouldn't that be including FMAP?
Yes.
Okay, so in other words, that's the net cost in our budget this year, but if people are but thinking about sort of the trend lines, next year that's not going to be there.
That's right.
So it's good to be looking at the total mandates line as well.
Yes, and Medicaid will continue to go up by that 3% unless there's a profound change in Albany, so that's going to add another $350,000 to next year's to the 2012 budget.
Thank you.
Carol.
I had a quick follow-up for Brenda, having to do with the autopsies. Is that in any way due to increased use of hospice services and requirement to do an autopsy if the death occurs at home? And if so, if the answer is yes, do we have any discretion over the policy that says that when an autopsy has to be done?
The autopsy is conducted to determine cause of death, and that is the requirement, that the medical examiner would require one. Oftentimes it's in consultation with law enforcement if things don't look quite the way they should for them. They may have a consultation with the medical examiner, but the medical examiner primarily orders to determine cause of death. These are primarily all folks that have passed away in the home, and it's not easily determined. There's many cases that the medical examiner will see that don't require an autopsy after a review of medical records if the person is under care and there's documented medical things and it's a natural death. But there's many that do require it. And in addition, there have been increases in certain categories. And I don't have that data with me, but would be happy to share it with you later.
Thanks.
Anything else for Joe? Joe, you referred to some other sheet.
Yeah, I did. The second document that I'm referring to is a two-page document. The title is Estimated Local Cost, Human Service Mandated Programs 2010. I think you've heard us say often that about 88% of our tax levy is I put it on desk. Jim, you may not have gotten it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The notion that 88% of our property tax levy can be explained by looking at these human service mandates, this is really the source document for that, and although it's actually 87% after some adjustments were made after that original report was published. Let me explain what this is. This is a product of our program impact assessment sheets where every department was asked to categorize their programs by those categories that I went through earlier. Is it a mandate, discretionary, and so forth? And the result of that was a database that allowed us to take a look at those that we considered the hard mandates, mandate. And then the second category of mandates where we're told what to do, but we have some latitude over how to do it. And you can see when you add up those two columns, the first in that hard mandate column is $20.6 million, and this is 2010 information, not this year, but not 2011, 2010. And that second category of mandates, where we have some latitude, but we still must provide the service, there's another $12.68 million in that category of mandates. So when you add up those two areas of our budget, where we're obligated to provide a service, they together total $33.3 million, or did in 2010. Our entire 2010 property tax levy is $38.3 million. So this limited number of mandated programs represents 87% of our entire 2010 tax levy. And I think explains a lot of where our local taxes go. So I'm happy to take questions about this as well. And again, Frank, in terms of your source document, could you trace this back to another document? All of these numbers you can find in the Program Impact Assessment book or web link. Thank you. Thanks, back.
Thank you. So everything that's kind of locally funded, the roads, the sheriff's department, the library, most of that could fit into our sales tax revenue. Is that kind of what this is saying?
That's a very good way of looking at it. Yes.
With a little, you know, with maybe 13% of our current property taxes thrown in.
That's absolutely appropriate. Yes.
And again, this is not including anything about pensions, right?
That's correct too.
Thank you.
Pat.
Martha, could you please say the first part of what you said again? I didn't quite get it.
If, you know, we're not mandated to have a sheriff's department, we're not mandated to maintain the roads at any particular, we're not mandated to have a library, we're not mandated to have a community college. So there are all these things that we do, airport, all these things that we do that aren't required, but that
we do.
Mm-hmm. Almost all of those expenses could be covered by our sales tax and miscellaneous other smaller revenues. But with just a little bit of property tax thrown on top of that. So in terms of who's raising your property taxes, that's what this is all about.
Okay. Dave?
Yeah, just a question for Joe and Claire, clearing something up for me. The mandated with some latitude program.
Yeah.
Are the dollar figures mandated?
No, that's where the latitude comes in. So the state picked the first one, communicable disease and health. The state doesn't say to us, you're going to have to spend $369,000. The state does say, you have to provide programs that minimize the incidence of communicable disease. And they're very specific in terms of what we need to do. We then figure out how to meet that mandate. So there's flexibility there. And as you've heard, I think, through all these departments, our goal across the board is to make sure those costs are as low as they possibly can be. There is latitude.
Peter.
Joe, could we decide not to give pensions to our workforce? Is that within our discretion?
We could, but we would go to jail. I don't mean to be flippant.
No, it's a serious question.
I owe you a serious response. We must. All governments in New York State must participate in the New York State employee retirement system. We don't have a choice. And as members of that system, we have a constitutional obligation to provide those pension benefits to our employees in the specific manner that is prescribed by the state comptroller. We can't diminish benefits. We can't form our own plan. We're required to provide it exactly the way the state requires. Our only control is how much we pay an employee, because that influences pension, or whether we hire that employee at all.
Okay, well then, I just want to suggest that it would be perfectly legitimate to add the pension cost on the workforce that is dedicated to carrying out the mandated expenses to a mandated expense. I'm sorry for that convoluted sentence, but you understand what I'm saying.
I do. Yep.
I mean, we have no freedom to do that. So that really ought to be included as a mandated expense.
Yes.
Pat Dooley.
Is there, Joe, is there another list then of programs that are not mandated, but if we choose to do them, then we have requirements we have to meet?
Yes.
They're not included in this list, are
they're
they?
Not. That's another, okay. That's another group of programs.
Okay.
Dooley.
Well, if pensions were determined just on salary without overtime, we could save money. Has anyone ever raised that as a legal issue?
I don't know, Dooley. I know when pension plans are established, those decisions get made about what's in the base. But I don't know that it's ever been legally, that base has been legally challenged.
I understand that our records that go to the state give the amounts of checks we write, but there is a distinction between what's in that check.
But once a tier is established, they just established Tier 5. Once that tier is established, it says what must be included in that pension base. So for the moment, at least, in Tier 5, that includes all compensation, including overtime.
The only thing there is part, and that I know, that a certain percentage of your final 3 years' income, in other words, they can't raise your salary $50,000 so that you can increase your benefit. There's a certain percentage that you're allowed to increase in the final 3 years to do the average. And I think that has to do with overtime and other things. Brian, you may know more than me on that. Go ahead. You have a question?
No, I was just going to say, last I knew that was 20% per year if there wasn't a promotion involved.
Yeah. Any other questions for Joe about mandate? We'll move right along to our sheet with reduction and addition subtraction. First one, Robertson. Go ahead.
If I can just ask us to look first at the other one, the 1% on the tax levy.
You can ask that, but why do we have to do it?
Because this was a question that came up actually in the minutes from a legislature meeting. So I had asked that this be calculated.
Yeah, and Martha, my plan was I was going to have Kevin describe that along with his calculator that he's made up for all of you, but go ahead.
Okay, then Kevin, if you could explain this, that'd be great. Just walk through this.
Sure. So a question came up about what is you know, how much is 1% on the tax levy? Well, we base it on the prior year, the 2010's tax levy. So 1% of $38 million is $380,000, and actually it's $383,091. Now, how much is that per $1,000? It's about 61 cents. Or point, no, I'm sorry, 6.1 cents. Yes. So what that translates to is 1% increase on the tax levy is on a $160,000 home, which is what we've come to recognize as the average home in Tompkins County. That's a $9.77 increase on taxes if you were to increase by 1%. So I have this one-page sheet, which is just a static, you know, quick snapshot. I also sent out an email this afternoon, basically the calculator that does this for you. So you can look, you can plug in, it starts with the 5%, and it bases on last year's tax number. So you won't see, you'll see on this piece of paper, it says the 2011 tentative tax levy. On that, it shows last year. So it's when you open it, it has the 5%, which is currently what the amount is. If you say, well, I want to restore these programs and I'm going to pay for it with tax levy, you can change that to 6% or 7% or 5.5 or 5.25, and you can see what that effect will have on any size home. I've also made it so that you can change the assessed value of the home to find out, you know, well, my neighbor paid, or my neighbor's house is assessed for 120. How does that affect them? And again, that only shows the county taxes. That doesn't show the other municipalities, and that doesn't show the school taxes. So,
your box here says county taxes on a three levels of home at 640.108, and then if you add 1% on the tax levy,
$9. Yeah, on a $160,000 home, it's $1,025, and then you add 1%, they add another $9.77. So the bottom $160,000 home is now going to spend $1,035.50 in taxes in 2011.
Okay, great. And then the middle one is a 1% change.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. I really appreciate that.
And with Kevin's calculator that y'all have, you can play this game at home. Carol, then Will, then Julie.
Yeah, I did play this game at home, and I meant to bring in the figure that I calculated, but I didn't. So for every $100,000 of change that we make, what's the impact on every 100 on a typical, on your average?
So you were looking at the I also had the program tab, which this you can put $100,000
in. So I put $100,000 in there. And I can't see that from here.
On the average home, which is $160,000, that's going to be a $2.55.
Thank you.
Will?
Thank you. Thanks, Kevin, for working this up. I've been wanting something like this, and I really appreciate it. I just want to make sure I understood. When you figure the county taxes on a $100,000 home being $641,000, that is this year?
That is 2010's number.
Okay, so already we, in Joe's budget, have a 5% increase, so we got to do the 5 times.
Which, that's what the, right here it shows. This will show.
641 is the 2011 bonus rate.
Yeah, it's the, right. That's the, that's the base rate.
Right, the 2010 rate was $6,000. So that would go to 6, I think it goes to 641, correct?
So the 641 is including the 5%.
Yes.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah. Okay. And the rate is going up faster than the levy because of the reduction in the assessed value, the tax base, which is driving that.
And this calculator that you'll find that I sent in the email, that's right up here, it shows the 5% change on last year's tax rate, or tax levy, sorry. On last year's tax levy, you show the 5% change, adds another $1.9 million. And then that's the 4225. So down below, you'll see that it's off by a penny, but that's a rounding error. Okay. But
what is mill rate?
Mill rate is a term used in assessment to determine $1,000 per. That's a per $1,000
value.
Value.
The rate per thousand.
Thank you.
It's the rate per thousand.
But I thought 2010 is $6.
Hello?
What's that?
I have a couple people over here.
But just a correction, I thought 2010 was $6 and a penny, not $6.11.
That's because you now need to add those two numbers together. That'll show you the 2011, 642. It's off by a penny, but it's just a rounding thing. Because if I were to scroll out, no. You'd see that it's...
I think I can explain it. In 2010, the tax rate was $6 a thousand. Okay, so when we compare our 11 rate, we ought to be comparing it to that $6 flat per thousand. However, when you spread that same levy across our diminished tax base in 2011, to raise the same amount of money, our rate would have to be 611 per thousand, not 6 flat.
Thank you, George.
Dooley.
If I understand what you just said in general, looking at the change in the tax levy on an average $160,000 home, if our budget were to go up 10% and not 5%, which would be the full maintenance of effort, the increase for the average home would be under $100.
$97.69.
Okay.
Someone else had their hand up over on this side of the room. Have you given up? Peter, did you have your hand up?
I don't think so.
All right. I'm sorry. Maybe someone
forgot.
Falling backward in their chair. Carol?
Well, I have a question, but it's back on this that we didn't talk about.
We haven't really talked about that yet, have we?
No, but it's probably...
Is there any other questions about the calculator and all that, Martha?
Yeah, I think, Dooley, you've got that wrong. If I understand, these increase figures, these sets of figures about if we increase the tax levy another 1%, that's on top of the 5% increase that's built into the tentative 11 budget. Is that right?
So the sheet that I gave you shows the tentative budget.
Right.
The calculator does not have, it just has the last year's budget, and it starts off with the 5%. So on the calculator on there, you have to add the 5%, or you have to add the 6%, or 4%, whatever you change it there. On this one sheet I gave, it already has the 5% that tentative budget. So any 1% additional on top of the 5%, this sheet shows.
So, Dooley, your statement, you're saying it'd be whatever you said for 10% levy is on top of that number, not this number?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyone else? Mike.
I don't think we have a tentative budget yet. I think we have an administrator's proposal.
That's the tentative.
Thank you for that. And anyone else? Yeah, you're
that's
right.
That's the term.
That's what we call it.
We're saying words among friends here, okay? There is no, we have a county administrator budget, and hopefully we'll end up with a budget somewhere along the way. So can we just kind of agree that we're talking about the county administrator's budget? Someone have their hand up over here?
Just before we move on to motions, I had a question about this. So you handed out, and this probably went with the discussion on the mandated expenses, and you handed out a graph that showed us these visually as opposed to in the chart.
Local share by department. I had already handed one of these out. This adds a fourth column to it, and it just shows the maintenance of effort. So the light blue column that's added to it is the maintenance of effort. Don't throw away your old one because it has a other side to it, and this one doesn't.
Right. So that was going to be my next question, is that when you handed them out before, you gave us a sheet that had them grouped with the non-mandates and mandates, which is sort of the total budget the way these do. And then we also got sheets that broke those down into the mandates on one sheet and the non-mandates on another, actually on the other side, but I separated them. Is it possible to get just to reissue those with the they're slightly adjusted figures, or to show it on this one with a little line or shading under these, whichever is easier for you?
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Joe, Kevin, you have anything else you want to say? Okay, thank you. Let's go with the sheet, 1 and 2, and first one on there is Martha, new reduction, and it's a TBD. Martha, do you want to roll that one out?
Yeah, I wanted to just ask a question, and I noted that in that our departments have are kind of all over the lot. Some are full-time staff are all 40 hours, some are all 35, and then they're all different flavors in between. I noted that the planning department, for one, met their target in part by reducing all staff from, I think, 40 to 37 and a half hours. So I'm in no way proposing this, but I wanted to know what theoretically would be realized if we made this kind of across-the-board cut. Now, I am, I sort of thought of this because a lot of people have said, well, I'm not going to add anything back unless I see cuts first. So I went back and came up with a couple of things that I would be willing to vote for in terms of reducing our program. But I also sensed that it wouldn't get entirely to where some people might want to get. And I thought, well, you know, we have this whole program book here, you know, that the program inventories, and Joe picked out kind of two programs basically to cut, and we're getting enormous resistance and a lot of people wanting to add back, but then I don't, even some of the same people saying, but I want to add this back, but I don't want the levy to be any more than 5%. So I'm kind of struggling. So then what's the plan? So honestly, and that's actually why I'm really pleased to see the information on what does 1% on the levy actually mean to a homeowner, 1 or 2% or whatever it is, that if we look with responsible eyes, with the full knowledge that we all have about what our programs are and what our staff does, what's really a responsible budget for Tompkins County? So I thought another way to look at this would be to reduce all of our staff down to 35 hours a week. I don't in any way propose doing that, but I thought it was something that we should look at the numbers. And so I'd like to know, we got sent a spreadsheet, but I didn't print it out. And so, you know, if we could have a summary of the numbers, but also I would love to ask Joe to comment on the idea itself.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
I don't mind. Not at all. First of the numbers. We've done something more than back of the napkin, although it's still an estimate. We would have to go department by department and employee by employee to get an accurate understanding of how much this would mean to the county budget. But the back of the napkin suggests that this would have an impact of about $1.5 million. Now, let me talk about this for a bit, first to the numbers and then to some editorial comments, if you'll let me make those comments. First to kind of the numbers. It's important to understand that this wouldn't affect all county departments. As Martha has said, there are a lot of departments that are already predominantly 35-hour work week departments, some of the biggest ones. DSS, for example, is almost all 35 hours, mental health. So some of the larger, especially human service departments, are already in a 35-hour-a-week environment. Some departments you can't do this to. You can't do it to the jail. You really would have a hard time, and I think there's contractual restrictions on doing it to the sheriff's road patrol. So you'd have to carve the sheriff out. You'd have to carve the dispatch center out because you need a certain number of individuals and hours to cover the calls that they get. Some departments, you can do it, but it really wouldn't affect your property tax levy, which is, I think, what most of the discussion is here, the enterprise accounts. Solid waste in the airport. They do have 40-hour employees, but if those work weeks were reduced, it wouldn't affect the property tax levy because they're not supported by property taxes. They generate their own money. So in terms of the departments affected, it's a subset of the entire county. It is largely the physical service departments. Highways has a lot of employees who are at 40 hours, as does facilities. So it's largely the physical service departments and the administrative departments. So the departments like finance, planning, and so forth, although there are changes proposed in planning, would be the ones that would really bear the brunt of this. So in terms of the numbers, that's kind of the group of county departments we'd be looking at. And again, my back of the napkin, expanded a bit, would suggest an estimate of about $1.5 million. If you don't mind, if I could spend a couple minutes on some editorial comments on this. And I refer to the same kind of issue back when I did the internal white paper, when we started to realize we've got some tough times coming and we need to think about what our options might be. And at that time, I acknowledged that some other governments were looking at furloughs and reduced work weeks and things like this. And in that white paper, I conveyed my feelings and philosophies on this. I think in the private sector, it's a very common and appropriate response to a reduction in demand for services or products. So if I'm running a factory and the economy turns bad, as ours has, and business has dropped off, I try to respond to that by reducing people who I'm paying every week because there's just not a demand for my product. And that's an appropriate thing to do, although difficult. That's not our situation, though. Our business hasn't declined. If anything, our business has increased over the past couple of years with a bad economy. So we don't have idle labor that we can simply pull back on, either by major layoffs or by reductions in hours. We have to respond to services and the need for services. It's a 35-hour solution. Also, isn't just reducing salary. So it's not just telling people who are affected by this that your salary is going to go down by 12.5%, which is the money effect of this, 12.5% cut. It's really getting 12.5% less hours out of them. And that's time available to deliver the services that we need to do. So in terms of our ability to meet the needs of our government, to try to do that, and with a staff that has a reduced amount of hours of 12.5% is extraordinarily difficult. I'd be inclined to look at it in a different way. This would be the equivalent, in terms of lost hours, of a reduction of our staff of, it's like laying off one out of every eight people in those departments affected by this, in terms of productivity, hours available to us. It's like laying off one out of every people in the affected departments. So, again, I understand the motivation. I understand the dollars. They can be significant. But I think I also understand, as do you, I'm sure, the consequences of a change like this to the organization and our ability to provide services, particularly the time that we've already made roster reductions that are in the neighborhood of 5 or 6% over the past couple of years. It makes it even more difficult to live with this kind of a reduction in available hours. So I have some serious concerns. I know it's your decision and it's a major policy call, but I have some pretty serious organizational concerns about how this would play out if it was enacted.
I'm going to start first. I agree with Joe that it is a major policy call. We've already subjected the departments to an across-the-board cut to get to the budget that we have now, the county administrator's budget. And if the county were to get involved in any of this, the legislature was going to get involved in any of this sort of a incredible draconian action, that we would do what we do on many other things, that we would literally take a look at this over a long period of time. And, you know, I'm not going to predict a certain amount of time, but we for much less than this, we put together committees and study things forever. I think we would have to do the same thing for this, by talking to department heads, union leaders, and others, if the county were going to go down this path. I would certainly hope that we don't do that in this budget cycle. So I had Brian, Frank, Martha, Peter, Mike.
Go ahead, Brian.
Actually, I'm not gonna comment because you're right. This is a path, a very long path that I don't think we have time to go down right now.
Thank you, Frank.
That's Brian. Frank,
you're up.
Oh,
he's done.
Thank you. Jimmy.
Thank you.
First, we have some departments that cannot close, and it's not just the sheriff and the whomever. I think the clerk's office has to stay open. We can't, whether we reduce individuals' hours or not, they're required to be open a certain number of hours. Our own office here, I believe, is required to stay open certain prescribed hours. So even reducing the number of hours of an individual, we still have to cover the base. I mean, you don't save any money on the office closure at that point. A couple of questions, though. If we were to do this, let me ask the questions first, Joe. If we were to do this, does a compensating amount of reduction in benefits go with it? Secondly, we tried this, or we looked at this a couple of years ago, and it was fraught with all kinds of problems. Is there a possible, and this would probably require, as Jim has already said, some long-term discussions and with a special committee, but is there any possibility, and I'm not trying to incur anybody's wrath, but is there a possibility of a voluntary reduction in salary that might preserve the number of hours, preserve the position, but have a give back, even if it's temporary? And I realize there's some negotiating that would have to take place even to achieve that. And over what period of time? I mean, I don't know that anybody would be in favor of that, but the argument against that is I can see that we would be trying to balance the budget using our own employees as the method to finance it, and I'm not sure even I would be in favor of that one. But I'm just getting that out on the table because at some point that might come up as an item to talk about.
Let me speak to the fringe issue first.
Go ahead.
The fringe effect isn't quite as great in the first year as it would be in the second year because the same number of people would work for the county. The health costs wouldn't be affected at all, and that's our largest fringe benefit cost.
Would not,
because if they're ill, we provide care. So that wouldn't be affected at all. Pensions would be affected, but not until the second year. The way the pension bills work is based on the payroll of the prior year. So you get the benefit of the pension savings in the second year, not the first year, so it wouldn't affect 2011. The savings on the fringe side would be, I think, solely in FICA, which is a little less than 8%. So that's, we've added that fringe factor into the estimate. With respect to voluntary givebacks, I thought where you were going was voluntary work week reductions. And one thing I didn't say is there are a number of departments where they have worked with staff, and they've explained the situation. They've asked staff, you know, would you be willing to go to a shorter work week? And in some cases where it's appropriate and where it works for the department and the employee, that has been implemented. And on a broader base, the planning department is a good example where it's occurring across several of their employees. In terms of a voluntary wage reduction, I think that would be very difficult. That's really a matter of going to the negotiating table. And I think you know that we've been pretty stringent in our positions at the table already. But I don't think I think it would be a very difficult venture to ask for voluntary givebacks on wages.
Martha.
If we're going to have people give back salary, I would never ask them not to also cut their hours. I really appreciate the work that went into this today, Kevin and Joe, I just really can't speak against this strongly enough. I think this is, you know, across-the-board cuts are the sort of easy way out. I mean, we've for years resisted that kind of an approach with good reason, and because every spending decision is, there are reasons behind the dollars that we spend. And I appreciate, you know, every function that we have is important, and they're advocates, but if the collective wisdom is that it's more important to keep the tax levy where it is at 5%, reminding us that that was a sort of experimental, you know, arbitrary number when we voted the levy target in May. Now we see what that means. That's our decision. If people want to hold to that, I think it's important that they propose actual cuts in function, so that the staff is not, that we have left is not required to do the same amount with fewer hours, or to do even more with fewer hours. So that's what the program inventories were all about. You know, if for the folks who are dedicated to especially putting something back, you know, I think it's important, putting something back without raising the levy beyond Joe's amount, then I think it's important that people think of something that they're ready to give up.
Peter. I'm a little uncomfortable about this because there seems to be a lot of rules about what you can propose at this point and so forth. But I've also been thinking a lot since the last meeting, and I mean, I've said this many times, but this is my first time through this, and so I've been changing my point of view quickly, but I too had an idea that was sort of like Martha's, and I don't want to propose it or even argue for it because I have no idea how much money is involved, and essentially,
well, then please don't do it.
I have a request to make. And what I would like to do is to find out exactly how much money it would save. So this is what I would like to do.
So you're going to present your idea, which is different than hers?
Yes, I'm going to present it very briefly. But what my question is, I'm not trying to justify it. I would like to ask the county administrator if he could figure out how much money would be involved in this.
Go ahead.
And what the idea is to impose a hiring freeze, a hard hiring freeze, on everything except essential lines. So if a position is vacated, then we don't refill it. Now, I don't want to argue for that, but I would like to have an estimate, a good estimate from the county administrator, so that I could decide whether or not to offer that.
Mike. Well, we can probably do that.
That'd be fine. Thank you.
I would just say quickly, over the years, I've been an advocate for the 40-hour work week, and most of the proposals that have increased 35 hours to 40 have been a savings to us by minimizing the number of new employees we had to hire and also minimizing the amount of overtime that we had to expend at time and a half.
Thank you, Mike. Good point. Nate?
I just wanted to say that I think three legislators have spoken that we need to study this more. One has said that it is against it. One didn't have speak to the point, so I think it's time to move on. Thank you.
Carol?
Because we have seven other issues that we have to deal with in 2 hours.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask to get into the record that if we are going to look at this, that we look carefully at factors like Mike mentioned, and sort of, I don't want to use the word efficiency, but which are the departments that, or the functions that cost something to just open up the doors? The highway department comes to mind, that just to get the equipment out and put it away at night, what is it? What are the implications of doing that for a seven-hour day instead of an eight-hour day?
May I just make a comment? I think, you know, if the county does that, we will, I think that there would be an appropriate time when each one of you could put in your suggestions on how we would do it, okay? And Dooley.
I thought I had my hand up earlier.
You may have, and I ignored you. And
all I want to do is ask if Kathy could please summarize Joe's policy presentation on this issue and whatever other comments are useful from this discussion so we don't have to repeat it again. Put it in our minutes, please.
Well,
I credit Martha with raising an idea that she didn't believe in and just forcing us to deal with the implications. There's a downside, unfortunately, to any of us doing that, and I suspect that as word of this made the rounds from our departments, and people were quite seriously, fearful that we were serious about this, that also had a cost, and of course it had a cost in Joe's mind, in Joe's time, rather. I think we need to be careful in just floating ideas. I mean, we're in an extraordinary situation, and we're looking for sources, but almost everything we say and do has a cost. And I'm going to continue to advocate for bumping up the levy because I think that literally is the most humane way to deal with this awful situation.
Yes.
I'm ready to make my next motion on the list. That's okay.
All right. Let's go. It says capital program Lane/Robertson 009. One time.
Joe had... We have a proposal included in the budget for a three-year capital project for deferred maintenance, and Joe had included $100,000 in one-time money to do the planning and get that program in shape. I would like to reduce that to $50,000, so it doesn't affect the tax levy, I believe, but it does affect the fund balance by $50,000.
Second.
Discussion. Julie?
Well, I would appreciate some input from the staff involved in this project planning on what that would mean.
Julie, I was the one who proposed the $100,000, and it was really to provide planning and preparatory work for the plan. I've talked to Aurel. I've talked to Ed. I believe that this cut is sustainable, that we can still do the kind of preliminary work that we need to get the project going. So all of us who have looked at this don't have a problem with this motion.
Are we ready to vote? Carol?
Can I just ask what page of the budget or an amount that is in our budget in the capital program for deferred building maintenance that this would impact?
OTR request.
It's in the capital.
I know the OTR request, but in terms of the main page, where is it? In other words, what's the capital? What do we have total in there for deferred maintenance? That's an over target request. Is there a main budget?
There's a request for $100,000 to get ready for a $2.4 million three-year capital plan that would be supported with bonds. So you don't see a budget appropriation for that. That'll be financed through bonds.
Do we have a base amount in our budget for deferred maintenance at this point?
And facilities does have an ongoing allocation for basic building maintenance. To look.
I'm sorry.
Just a quick clarification.
Well, Kathy's next, actually.
But it's on this
item. All right, okay.
Just, Joe, I don't want to confuse two different things. The item that Martha is proposing is a reduction in the $100,000 for capital planning capital projects. The item I think Carol is talking about is a deferred maintenance item. That's a different number. Don't confuse the both of those.
Right. And I see Ed in the back of the room, but I believe it's facilities. There's a building repair line item. There's a rail back there, which in the target budget is $115,000. That the tentative budget has at $150,000, and that's on page 84 of 300. Are there other lines, Arell, that relate to this?
Arell, can I trouble you to use the microphone, please?
In 2010, this year, we actually had in our operating budget about $500,000 for deferred maintenance. This is a change, so we're basically putting, taking deferred maintenance out of our operating budget and putting it as a capital project at 2.4. So in our operating budget for 2011, there is no funding for deferred maintenance, just for maintenance at $150,000.
Thank you for that. Kathy.
Thank you. I'd like to move this number to be 70,000 from 50. In other words, from the 100,000, I'd like to move it to 70,000. The proposed is 50. Sorry about the voice, y'all.
So is there a second to that?
Trying to amend Martha's. I don't understand what Kathy is saying.
Thank you. That's what I'm
proposing. You're trying to amend Martha's to make it a $70,000 reduction?
No. You said it much better.
As opposed to a $50,000 reduction.
That's right. That's what I want to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a Leslie, you seconded?
No, I did not.
Oh, is there a second to Kathy's upward move from 50 to 70?
I'll second just so Kathy can explain if she wants, but
she still picks her 20,000. She's not liking to explain.
Now I know everyone here is a masochist. If you want
to be your voice.
Actually, the question that Carol and Frank asked helped illustrate the fact that the deferred maintenance budget is it's compelling and it's very important. I know they've made sacrifices. However, I believe in the spirit of responsible governing that Martha talked about earlier, those of us who are considering additions to the budget need to responsibly consider reductions in places where we hope and expect that staff will be able to accommodate it, and this is one of those as far as I'm concerned.
Peter.
Yeah, I'm a little confused because I thought that the Martha's $50,000 reduction was not going to impact negatively the deferred maintenance program, if I understood correctly.
This is for the planning part.
Is that correct, or did I misunderstand?
This is planning for deferred maintenance projects.
Right.
If they can get by with a $50,000 cut, I'm hoping, and if the legislature approves this amended motion, that they would manage to get by with a $70,000 reduction in the planning budget. In other words, it would be $30,000. Am I correct in my numbers, y'all?
Right.
I'm trying to get it everywhere I can.
Martha Dooley.
I just asked Joe or Arell to respond to that.
Well, the 100,000 was for planning and design for the deferred maintenance projects, the 2.4. I think in the budget I presented to spread that over 3 years, $800,000 per year. So year one was roofing, fire alarm systems, and site work. So the design and planning would be for roofing systems. Code requirements have changed, so that'd be, we'd have to design those roof systems and then fire alarm systems. 2010, the new code goes into effect, which has increased the requirements for fire alarm systems as well. So those cannot be done in-house. Even though I'm an engineer, I'm a civil structural engineer, so those aren't things that we could handle in-house as far as design and planning. So those we would have to outsource. So $50,000, we can do that. At $30,000, it'd be difficult to do for $800,000 worth of projects. You figure usually that your design is about 10 to 15% of your construction costs. So that's about $80,000 at 10%. So $50,000, I think I could manage. But at $30,000, it'd be difficult to do really much of planning unless we started some of the capital projects mid-year to the latter part of next year, and we could roll those planning and design costs into the bonds.
Into what?
Into the bonds, the $2.4 million. So it would delay the deferred maintenance, you know, another 6 months. We'd like to do the design and engineering early, go out to bid early rather than late in the year.
Any other comments. Are we ready to vote on the plus 70 cut that Kathy is talking about, the amendment? All in favor of the plus 70 cut, please raise your hand. One opposed. That is defeated. Now the main motion. Are we ready to vote on the main motion? All in favor of the main motion, please raise your hand.
What was the main motion?
The main motion is $50,000 cut. Please raise your hand. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 opposed. 2, 13 to 2, that passes. Thank you. Capital program, one time. Lesland Aquifer Studies, it's a minus 38,725.
Mr. Chair, can I now take my opportunity for the last few meetings and go on for a bit? I actually have questions.
Go ahead.
Before I make this proposal. I remember, and someone please help me out, when we decided to enter into this a few years ago, it was either to leverage a certain amount of state funding or we got it at a certain level where at that time I think it was like 30% or something. I don't even remember what it is. And I thought it was only going to be for a short period of time. Did I get that completely wrong, that we were going to be doing this? Anybody help me out here?
It was a 15 or 20-year period.
It was for a 20-year period.
No, maybe not, but a long period.
Okay, then I will not make this motion. Thank you.
Okay, so
withdrawn.
It's withdrawn. we are moving on to Robertson, new facilities highway. Go ahead, Martha.
Okay, thank you. I don't see that. I'd like to move a target cut, public contribution to Public Works Administration. It's 57,210, and I think it's split half in highway and half in facilities.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
It's split half in facilities and half in highway, and I think it's out of the base budget. There's no OTR, right?
Correct. And so you're...
That's a motion.
A motion. Is there a second? Carol? Discussion? Martha, Mike.
To explain, this was the contribution to Cheryl Nelson and Ed Marks' time in highway in administration and the Public Works Cabinet. And these amounts, I think, were kind of left in, I won't say by accident, but the function has changed, the function has moved, and these amounts remained, but they're not actually tied to anything. Is that right, Joe?
That's right. I mean, the option was kept open to keep things the way they were, so this money is left in those budgets. But yes, with the reorganization proposed, these contributions wouldn't be necessary.
Okay. I have Mike next, and then Frank.
I will support this, but I want everyone to consider the proposal here is for all of the facilities divisions, or all of the public works divisions, to report to the county administrator directly. And I think that's going to put quite a burden on our county administrator. And I really think that probably next year we'll be having to look at something different. I hope maybe I'm wrong, but this is a serious change. We don't have a public works commissioner, and we don't have the old cabinet system either. This is going to be quite a change.
Thank you, Mike. Frank?
Well, I think Mike explained part of what I was going to ask, but I'd like to turn to Arell and perhaps Bill for a second. Was this money going to, does this comprise any part of your role? If you have rollover, would this have gone into rollover for either of your divisions?
No.
It was a no. They're not the microphone. Go ahead. Oh.
The other, Mike, on your comment about does this then drive the county administrator's involvement in the department? I mean, if we were to leave this money in, does it mean that we would be looking at hiring somebody to perform the task?
It would simply mean that there might be someone else there to help with the administration, as we've seen Cheryl Nelson do over the years. But the proposal is to do away with that position. So it's going to have to be administered through the our administration department. Is that correct, Joe?
Yes.
Okay. Dooley and then Levlin.
So if this is resolution is successful, the money will go into the general fund. Is that correct?
It will be money that had been in this budget that is now basically unencumbered. So if you were to implement this, it would reduce our tax levy by $57,000. Right now, it wouldn't go into the fund balance, but if you approve these motions, again, it would reduce our levy by $57,000.
And if later on we decided that it made sense to have some amount similar to that in the county administrator's budget, for the purposes of the oversight of the divisions, that would have to be a separate motion.
Yes.
Levlin.
I just want to ask if there are all the places in the budget where there's just money sitting like this that needs to be, because it was a surprise to me, Joe, to just hear that it could, you know, it doesn't need to be there. So it's just a mistake to have left it there, or was there a plan?
That was my word, and I'm sure it was.
No, I heard Joe say that, yeah, so I'm asking.
Yeah, I wish there was more of this. This was something that was under discussion until the final hour before the budget was presented. Okay. We kept it in, again, to keep the options open. I think as the departmental budgets were presented, this was raised in those departmental reviews, so it has been out there since those individual departments.
It was to keep options open. There isn't a plan in place to use it.
Correct.
Thank you.
Peter.
I wish I understood this. What I'm hearing is that whether we pass or defeat this motion will not change the money that flows out of the county's budget into the outside world by hiring somebody. It's just a matter of transferring from one place into another.
No,
is that correct?
The levy.
Huh?
That's
not accurate.
It will lower the levy. It will lower the levy because in the planning department we have fully budgeted for the cost of the commissioner. Mr. Marks. Historically, this money would have been used to offset a part of that salary. So this will be, and also the public works administrator. So this money would have been dedicated for that. If you pass these motions, it will be a savings to the budget, and it will result in a reduction in the property tax levy to the tune of $57,000.
0.08% of the levy.
Okay, but if we don't pass it, the levy will
stay the same.
It'll stay where it is.
It'll stay where it is, but there's not going to be any difference. I mean, there's no money that's going to leave the county.
Leave the
coffers of the county. I mean, it must be.
Well, this would give.
Okay.
I see.
Yeah, there could
I'm
be something done with it. Frank, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a follow-up to something Dooley mentioned. Dooley, you mentioned that if this is enacted, the county administrator or someone in his department will oversee or participate in public works administrative functions because there's no commissioner. If I heard you right, we might expect a compensating request at some point for the administration from the administrator for restoration of these funds?
I did not mean to indicate that I expect the county administrator would make a request. I made a comment that it would take a separate action by us if we thought that such money were necessary to add to his budget because of this additional responsibility. I didn't say I was expecting a motion or request.
My comment is then, I wouldn't want to give anyone the impression, and I love Joe, don't get me wrong, give anybody the impression that if we do this, that it paves the way, no pun intended, Bill, for someone to come up and say, well, now I need the money.
No.
I mean, we should go into this knowing that there's going to be more work to do for someone in Joe's department. If they're not willing to do it, then this request shouldn't be made. So I want to go on record as saying, don't assume that it's a given, tacit or otherwise, that there's going to be an offset for applying for this money at some point. Okay?
Are we ready to vote on this? I think it's for counseling. Are we ready to vote on this? All in favor of the resolution, the motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Opposed, any? No one. Okay. Thank you. Next one. Facilities, Robertson, seasonal worker, one cleaner.
This is OTR 33. And I'd like to move a reduction, or that this OTR is funded in Joe's budget. I would like to unfund it, to take that money away. 56,683, a seasonal worker, and one cleaner, which I assume is a year-round position, and with deep regret and apologies to Arel and the staff.
Is there a second to this? Pat. Discussion. Hi, Brian Dooley, Martha.
We've done it already tonight. I'd certainly like to hear from the impacted managers as to.
Yes. You know, that's good. Do you want to come to the microphone, please? Thank you, Earl. This proposal takes out one seasonal worker and one cleaner.
Yes. I'm opposed to that. I think during the budget presentation, I showed graphs I've done over many years, showing that at least over the last 10 years, but even further, that at least our cleaning staff, we've taken on more square footage to clean additional buildings, but not increased staff. And so if this were to be approved, our cleaning staff would have basically, if you compared to 2000, a 52% increase in the square footage that they clean up. Each cleaner would now be cleaning about 21,000 square feet as opposed to 14,000. So they'd have to pick up about 20,000 square feet to divvy up amongst 15 cleaners. Now we have 16 cleaners between day cleaners and night cleaners. Now to compare, I took as kind of a benchmark our airport facility. There we spend almost twice as much per square foot as we do for our county facilities. At the airport, spend about $818,000 for cleaning 25,000 square feet. At facilities, we spend $858,000 to clean 324,000 square feet. So we're spending $2.65 per square foot as compared to the airport, which all of us love, $5.10 per square foot. So, you know, I've tried to advocate over the last several years that we're going in the wrong direction if we're cutting staff to provide basic, you know, hygienic services to our facilities. And I've shown the graph, I think it was in the presentation, that we've just increased the number of square footage but not increased staff. Five buildings we've added, and we've basically absorbed those increases in square footage. The mental health building we took over without increasing staff, the emergency response center, the public works facility, the old library, which is fairly small, but we've got the community justice center there, and the Board of Elections Training Center. So this would drastically impact the level of services for cleaning to our county facilities. Also, this reduction includes a seasonal position. That seasonal position is a six-month position that the sole responsibility of that individual is to maintain our grounds. So I did compare that to our airport. Airport spends $33,000 in landscaping and groundskeeping for one building. We spend $18,000 for 14 buildings. So we spend a lot less for several facilities. If this motion is approved, we're basically eliminating a position that has that sole responsibility, and we would put it on other maintenance staff that already stretched thin to maintain our facilities that then would have to assume groundskeeping responsibilities at a higher hourly rate.
Yeah, I can't top what Arel said. I'll just quote Joe's comment why he supported this OTR. Failure to fund the OTR could accelerate the deterioration of public buildings and impair the health of employees and visitors.
Okay, Martha, you're next.
Arel, you're absolutely right. But I'm afraid, even though I've been talking about raising the levy above 5%, even still, with the things that I really think need to be replaced in this budget, I'm faced with choices that are unacceptable, but this one is more acceptable to me than some of the others. So, I mean, it's a great measure to compare this to the airport spending. I understand that. The airport is a particular case, sort of a tourism facility, et cetera. There are a lot of reasons why it's wise that they spend that extra money. I'm afraid that, we'll just have to look a little shabbier. I think that's the reality that we're in, and I'd rather lose this service, this amount of service, than some of the other things I'd like to replace in the budget.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. It's been said over the years that Public Works doesn't have a support group. We've sat in this room, and with all due respect to the human service agencies, we have heard from a lot of human service agencies during this last year. They come to our regular meetings and each make a presentation on what they do, and it's in preparation for the budget review. And, Kathy, I'm not just trying to pick on human service agencies, but I haven't heard or seen anybody carry a sign for Public Works. And I would think that the two individuals whose jobs are noted in this probably are going to be among the most affected. I don't think it's wise, and Martha, I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. I think we do have as much of an obligation to maintain our buildings and our public facades as we do for restoring some positions through DSS or any of the others, that the advocacy center or whatever. I think once we take on a building, we do have a certain amount of responsibility for it. We're also considering taking on additional structures. And if we're trying to operate what we already have with a reduced staff, I don't know how we're going to maintain anything new that we might do. So I certainly would urge, I realize it's almost $57,000. But I don't think that this is a wise, I don't think reducing this would be a wise expenditure of our money.
Nate?
I will not support this this motion. In my full-time employment, I'm the administrator for a housekeeping department, and I research benchmark data for housekeeping on a regular basis, and at least for hospitals, and obviously hospitals are a little different, but there is a lot of office space. If you have one cleaner doing 14,000 square feet, that probably puts you in the top 25th percentile. Right, and if you're talking 21,000 square feet per housekeeper, you're probably getting to a point where you're so efficient that you're not doing a good job. In other words, in terms of those numbers, right? And so I wouldn't support that just based off that data.
Thanks, Nate. Pat, Leslin, and then me.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to the people who submitted these reductions. I was one of the people that asked that we do this prior to and not necessarily prior to, but along with considering the increases. And I appreciate how difficult it is to come up with proposed reductions. I have been trying to go through the budget myself and come up with some proposals, but this is one of those places where I find that my newness on the legislature has been making it very difficult for me to make those kinds of judgments as to what I might recommend. So I want to thank you, Martha, and the other people that have made this effort to do this. And I won't take the time to reiterate everything that Martha said, but I will say that I do agree with Martha's thinking on this. As painful as it is to think about the increased shabbiness, if that's the way that we have to look at it, when I balance that against the human service programs and the cuts that we're proposing in those programs, I have to come down on the side of trying to find every single penny that we can to try to restore those programs as much as possible. So I will support this.
Leslie.
Nobody loves human services more than I do. But I also have to balance this, and I can't support this. It's funny because my thinking was actually to add two cleaners as opposed to cut one. But I'm not there just yet. I'm going to see what we're going to cut out. But I also have to balance, you know, if we're going to cut cleaners with what happens to the people who are going to be doing the jobs. Now I start thinking of folks who are out sick, who are out because of injuries and hurt and everything else and illnesses. And then we have to now factor in temporary hires and who knows what else. So it didn't seem like a wise place for cuts. But also just considering the well-being of the folks who do this work is super important, and I don't think that this is a good place to go with it.
I have a question, Arel. Is the full-time person, would that be a layoff?
It would not be at this. Well, yes, it would. Yeah. We just actually brought somebody on board, so it would.
Yeah, so we would save nothing then. Peter.
I'll pass.
Nate.
Just wanted to say that we also need to consider that, you know, the whole broken windows theory, you know, the fact that when you have a facility that looks shabby and dirty and we're providing services to clients in those areas, what does that tell our clients about what we think of them and the services we provide and the people that work there? I think it's important to maintain clean facilities to show that we have high quality.
Mike?
Unfortunately, we've always treated the facilities division sort of as the poor boy. It's not the most exciting part of our public works department. And I would certainly associate myself with Frank's and Leslin's comments here, and I won't support this.
Carol?
I really applaud Martha for bringing this forward because I think that we do have to find places in here to respond to both the needs of our taxpayers and the needs of our all our residents in many ways and our employees. I have a question. So I'm not sure I can support the whole cutting the whole amount, the cleaner and the seasonal worker. I do wonder how much of this would be. I think we need to maintain the cleaning services. And I'm not sure that we haven't already suffered in that area, but yard work, I'm not sure. I see that $12,547 is the actual salary portion of the seasonal worker, but it's hard to break down the fringe into the two different positions.
Tell me what you want to do.
I'm trying to
amend her.
You know, rather than amend it, maybe I'll let it stand, but ask to be able to make my own motion at the end of that.
To revisit,
whatever you want to do. Yeah. Okay. Are we ready to vote on this? It's a cut of $56,683. Seasonal worker, one cleaner. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed. That is defeated. 11-3. Thank you.
So,
next.
Jim?
Yes?
So, Can I now move that we consider just the seasonal worker position since we are now discussing it, right?
Yeah,
I'm going to have to repeat the whole discussion and bring it real back. So I'd like to move that we reduce target by whatever amount would account for 12,547 plus the fringe that's attributable to that.
Aurel.
Yeah, I can respond to that. A seasonal.
Can you get a second?
No.
I'm sorry.
Not yet. Sorry, Frank. Thank you. Is there a second to that? Oh, yeah, Brian. Okay.
Yeah, seasonal position doesn't get the full fringe.
Right.
Because it's a 6-month position. So if you factor in the fringes, it's about $15,100.
Right. Okay. I assume.
Comments the change, a motion. Dave.
Yeah, Earl, this is a layoff, correct?
No, well, it's a seasonal position. So it's not a permanent position. It's not a permanent appointment. So we would hire off.
What's our downside to the thing? Is there any fee we're going to have to pay if we lay this person off?
Well, no, because they'll be unemployed shortly. I mean, basically, they work 6 months, and then they're off, and then we can hire anyone next year.
Okay. Brian.
Nope. Earl, don't go anywhere. But we always ask, if this goes away, how do you then cover it?
We would have to cover it with existing staff. Back probably in early 2000 or so, we restructured our organization. We had more maintenance staff back then than we do now. Mm-hmm. We have basically 7 maintenance staff between trades and maintenance mechanics. We used to have 5 maintenance workers, which were basically just above a kind of a laborer position, mm-hmm. but they weren't really skilled. They didn't have the skills to do a lot of the maintenance. So we had some skill gaps in the organization. We restructured and got the skill sets that we needed and realized that we didn't want to pay a maintenance mechanic to basically keep the grounds and mow the lawn, so we would hire a seasonal for those 6 months of the year where we would need it at a lower, hourly rate. And that's worked well. So if we eliminate this position, the maintenance mechanics, which are, we would have to pay at higher level, an hourly rate, would have to divert their efforts to maintain the grounds plus maintain, buildings.
Do I still have it?
Sure.
Well, tell me if I don't.
You still have it.
You do.
Okay.
Sure. That's permanent.
Thank you. Just one thing I wanted to point out was this calendar year, we did get rid of a big piece of property up at Biggs, which I'm sure required a lot of landscape maintenance that we're no longer going to have to do.
Yeah, and we thought the same thing until we read the Cornell Business and Technology Parks ground lease. We have to spend more in maintaining those grounds than we did Big B. We have to do, herbicides, fertilizers, all those things. I mentioned that to the legislature when we entered into that agreement. So our costs actually are slightly higher. Now, we also looked at outsourcing it. Mm-hmm. We would pay well above, and I showed you the airport outsourcers, their landscaping, $32,000 for that one building compared to $18,000 for 14 facilities that we have. So, yeah, we've looked at that. We thought we could get away with things at the new facility, but we're actually spending more for that one facility because of the lease requirements, the ground lease requirements at the business park.
I have Dooley and Martha.
You can tell us.
I think that we're doing the absolute minimal now to take care of our grounds. And the idea of doing away with this really small position is not sensible at all to me, to take a higher paid person who is already fully employed in Arell's shop to do grounds maintenance is not wise. I really cannot support you, Carol, in this.
Martha, do you want to say anything here?
How many seasonal workers do we have and who do this?
One.
This is the only one?
We only have one season. Highway has really the bulk of seasons. We only have one season worker, which is this.
So is this the only one who does grounds maintenance? The only worker you have?
Yes.
Are we ready to vote? The motion is to add 15,000 for the seasonal worker, right?
Reduce.
Or reduce, I'm sorry.
Do you want me to come up there, Jim?
No, that's all right. Reduce 15,000. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, opposed.
11, here we go.
Okay, thank you. Robertson, McBean, Claiborne, Highway 048, 100,000.
You go. Oh, sure. I want to offer a target reduction of $100,000 from the Highway Department. That's OTR 48. This is the road paving portion of it.
Is there a second? Carol? Discussion. Leslie?
I just want to say a little bit. I came to this based on the conversations we've had from the presentation by the Highway Manager, as well as some of the conversations in F&I about where we are with our roads, and felt that we, given sort of the conditions they're in, some of the work that's already being done, that he explained to us that they're holding up fairly well. We still have work to do. We're not doubting that. That we can hold off on a lot of this for another couple of years, and our roads aren't just going to go to down the drains. So I felt that this was a reasonable place that we can offer a reduction.
Who else had their hand up? We'll go around the room. Dooley, Peter, back here, Martha, Carol, Frank. Go ahead, Dooley.
Well, as our highway manager always points out to us, our roads are in a constant state of deterioration. And the request was for $200,000 originally for paving materials. The county administrator cut it in half to $100,000, and this will eliminate it. That seems too extreme to me, so I can't support this, Leslie.
Peter.
Our roads, like our bodies, are in a constant state of deterioration. At least some of us.
Some more than others.
I think this is something important to think about. And as far as I'm concerned, there are two ways to look at this. One is that we won't do it this year, but then when things are better next year, we'll do it next year. And we'll have to pay more than we did then, and because next year is going to be better. And I'm not convinced that next year or the year after next is going to be better. So, therefore, from that point of view, I'd be against it. On the other hand, it's not clear to me that we must have some kind of a cycle where we do a road every 10 years or 12 years or something like that. And it seems to me it would be legitimate to say, look, can we go into a cycle where we do it instead of once every 12 years, do it once every 13 or 14 years, and would the average condition of the roads be that much worse? And I can see supporting the latter, but I can't really see supporting the former. So at the moment, I have to assume we're doing the former, therefore I won't vote for that.
Is that okay? No. Martha?
I'm not sure I've got former and latter straight, but let's... Yeah. Page 123, the base budget, I think is where this line item is. Mm-hmm. Do you have it?
Yes.
Or do you know what it is? Okay, so in 2008, actual was about $1.6 million in this line. In 2009... it was just a little less, 6,000 less than that, so about 1.6. Modified budget in this current year is 1.4. Your target is 1.3 for this line. If this OTR, if this motion passes, that will be the total for highway materials, right?
Yes.
So and Joe had, you had requested 200,000. Joe put in half of your request. So this still is a very big number, and I, in the same way, same thing I said about the facilities, but even more so on this. I think we are faced with some terrible choices. And I know comments have been made about that highways don't have a cheerleading squad or people come to the microphone with crying kids, et cetera. That's so not the point. I really believe we need to treat our children as things that if we don't put in the money, it's preventive services either way. It's, are we going to prevent further damage on our roads? Or are we going to prevent further damage to our young people?
Both.
And in my mind, once the kids are broken, you can't fix them. Or it's way more expensive to repair damage of a childhood where there's been neglect and the services haven't been there that we now provide. So with apologies and regret, I really think this is something we have to do. I think that spreading out it's one equivalent of 1 mile of road repair, if I understand the OTR correctly. And right. I think our infrastructure can afford that more than our children can.
There was somebody over here that had their hand up. I have you, Nate, but then there was
pass.
You're going to pass. Thank you, Nate. Carol?
Yeah.
I have you, Frank, and then Mike.
Martha did take some of the words out of my mouth, although not the part about the not hearing from people wanting road paving, because I think that our residents do speak very loudly and come to their telephones very quickly when our roads. So I think that we do have good representation on that. And yet I still believe that what we're hearing and the outpouring that we hear about our roads is at a level commensurate with a $1.3 million budget rather than a $1.4 or $5 million budget, which I will point out on both the chart that we got today and the former chart, which is the I'm going to point out the highest line on here of our non-mandated items that we deliver is the highway. And we hear from a lot of residents, and I think we need to respond to them, and we do by keeping our roads at conditions of 6-7. We aim for a 7.4 out of 8. I mean, I'd love to be a perfect 10, but I can't. It's getting harder and harder to maintain that, folks. And
you are going to.
And so I can't. I mean, I do think that we need to respond and find places to chisel away at this budget. And this is one of the places I will support reducing the target.
I have Frank, and then I have Mike, and then we're going over on this side for round two, Dooley and Pat. Go ahead, Frank.
I would like not to make a comparison between saving children and saving roads. I'd like to make a plea for saving roads. It's important to save children. We can make a donation if we choose to certain organizations out of our own pockets to help them out. We're trying to do that through the United Way and whatnot. Unfortunately, and Carol, I would invite you out. I'm not familiar with every single district, but I am familiar with Danby, Caroline, and part of the town of Ithaca. I would invite you out to take a look at our roads. And some of them have been postponed again. We also have an obligation to certain people who live along those roads called taxpayers. They're kicking in through their tax base, and they have in the past. And I think we're not asking for, even though I'd love to ask for $1 million for roads, and I know Bill would love that too, we're just asking to sustain what's in here already. It's unfortunate that we don't have excess money to throw around, but we're trying also to encourage tourists to come into the community, and that translates into sales tax money, pardon me, and into room tax money. We've all heard, if you remember a couple of years ago, well, it doesn't, we don't pay out of the county for road maintenance directly in the city. There were some concern over the last couple of years about the condition of roads in the city. And I think that this would be a false economy here. I'm not sure of the numbers because occasionally we get the capital, the list of capital improvements and also the status out of the Facilities Committee on maintenance and improvements. But it would be interesting at some point to look at what the Ellis Hollow Road has indeed cost us, because my understanding is that there's some cost overruns in that particular road. We're going to start on the Hanshaw Road, I assume, at some point. I don't know how that would be affected by these monies or this loss of these monies. But I don't think this is a wise reduction at this point, Carol. Excuse me.
I think Mike was next, and then Dooley and Pat.
Martha, I just can't go with your comparison between children's programs and highways. Highways are an inanimate object. Our programs for children are important, just as important to the county as highway programs. That's the tough choice we have. The problem with roads is not the roads themselves. It's the people who use the roads. It's the safety of the people who use the roads. If Jonathan Wood were here, I'd like to have him comment on the number of claims we get for not properly maintaining our roads in some way or the other. That's a big source of lawsuits that we have. And the less we're able to maintain, the more we expose ourselves to such lawsuits. And that's even without saying that, you know, potentially people get killed on roads because of the poor maintenance or other things. And we don't want any of that to happen. So that's an important thing to think about. It's the people on the roads that you've got to compare to the children in the youth services programs, if that's what you want to do. And as I said again, they're both important. But having said that, Jim, what I'd like to do is move an amendment to the proposal to reduce the cut to 50% to $50,000.
Nathan, second. Discussion on the cut from 100 to 50. Martha?
So the target that would be replaced would be 150? Is that right, Mike? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, the cut here in your proposal is to reduce it by 100,000, the target. My proposal would be to reduce it by only 50,000.
Anyone else about that?
So in other words, the request was for 200,000. Joe put in 100. You're saying, Joe, we should put in 150 towards this OTR?
No.
You're saying we should put
I'm
in
saying
50
we're putting, putting
as opposed 50, to zeroing.
Toward that.
Got it. Okay.
So there's a cut to the proposal.
Okay. My comment was I think the highway materials for like Hanshaw, and this is highway materials for our local projects, and I think the capital program, those materials are in a different bucket. Frank, so is that right, Bill?
Yes, well, Bill is here, and he could answer that.
Okay, and... So to answer that, and Mike, I know both kinds of programs are important, and that's why I'm prepared to go to a 7% levy, and I'll say that right now. So, but I can't do that by myself, and that's why I'm proposing it. That if we got to make choices that are hard, this is one of them. So, I'm going to oppose the 50,000 because I think we should zero this out.
Anyone else
could
on the resolution?
Could we hear from Bill?
I'm sorry?
Could we hear from Bill?
We could. Bill?
Well, in 2004, this legislative body decided to invest $8 million in our county road system, and that was over 5 years. In 2006, we had flooding south of us. We were unable to get contractors to work here because they were taking care of the devastation. So it became a six-year program. This year was the last year of that program. The money that I have this year compared to next year, this year I've got $1.7 million more than I will have next year. So the way I'm looking at it, my overall budget is cut by about $1.7 million. So it's, we're getting right down there on the highway materials.
Loveland?
So, Bill, I appreciate that, and I'll tell you why, because you took some of what I wanted to say in that. I don't think that we've been so terrible at not funding highway stuff, because I remember that $8 million, and I know that we took a really hard position in saying we have to do this. It was important. I'm looking at what's in the target base right now at $1.3 million, and I don't think that if we can squeeze that $100,000, which is the additional amount you're asking for, or you're asking for two, that is going to hurt that badly. And I don't want anyone to be left with the impression that we have just been so negligent that we have not put monies into trying to make sure that our roadways and our bridges are taken care of, because I know that we have. It's a tough year, and we're just looking for places where we know that we can hold off.
I'm going to let Ed jump in here.
Yeah, this is just for information, but when we did the capital program, it was part of the long-range capital plan. Mm-hmm. The estimate at that time was that once the capital program was ended, which is happening this year, we would likely need to increase the base highway budget by $500,000 in order to, going forward, to put the minimum level of maintenance into the road system. So that's what we had determined at that time.
Okay, Peter, and then Kathy.
Don't sit down. Are you telling me that that $500,000 that you thought we need to increase the base budget is to be compared with the $1.7 million that he mentioned a minute ago, so that we're down sort of $2.2 million?
No, what I'm saying is that we expected, in order to, the $8 million was an investment to get to play catch-up, deferred maintenance essentially. We expected that at the end of that period of time to then maintain the system on an ongoing basis,
right,
would cost $500,000 more in the operating budget than what we have currently, or had currently at that time, which now we actually have a little bit less. So,
and if we defeat this resolution, then we'll have the $500,000 that's necessary.
No, we will be down probably $600,000 from where we would expect to need to be to maintain the road system over time.
Thank you very much.
I have Kathy.
Thank you. I'm not sure how this is going to turn out, but I would like to revisit it again. So I just wanted to let people know, particularly the capital program, in addition to the materials budget, if it's appropriate and if I can get support for it later on.
Pat.
I want to thank Leslin for that additional comment, which helped to clarify my thinking. I, too, don't like to talk in terms of comparison of programs for youth with roads and bridges and so on. However, the place where those things clearly intersect is in the taxpayers' bill when they receive it. That bill doesn't make any distinction between what that money is going for, and they're the ones that are paying the bill. One of my goals during this budget season is to try to keep the tax levy increase at or at least very close to the target that we set this spring. And as painful as it is to try to make these decisions, I still have to support all of the things that Martha and other people that have spoken in support of a reduction here have said, and I too will support the original motion to reduce this by $100,000.
This is about the $50,000. Mm-hmm. Okay, everyone understand that? I, mm-hmm.
Anyone else about the 50,000? All in favor of the motion reducing it by $50,000, raise your hand, please. Six. Opposed to reducing it by 50,000. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Who didn't vote? Yeah, I just did. Would the last vote, people please put their hands up.
Opposed?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Opposed
to the 50,000.
Yeah, opposed to 50. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? No, now it's 9. So the motion is defeated.
The amendment
is defeated. So now we're back to the main 100,000. Duly, Dave.
I'm glad that the 5-year program came up for discussion as part of the comments here, because it was intended to catch us up on deferred maintenance. And we're back where that original impetus came. We're falling behind again. So it didn't work. It didn't catch us up. It got spread out over an extra year. And the arguments about the need to keep the roads in decent condition to help people from being injured and to prevent lawsuits against the county. Mike made that very clearly, and John would have reminded us about that. The other theoretical reason to worry about road condition is that we are obliged to maintain a certain level of maintenance for our assets, and our highways and bridges are among our expensive assets, and our finance director has to compare how much they lose in value to how much we spend to maintain them. So that's another theoretical, technical reason to do it. It's not a humane argument. The problem with not paying attention to what Ed said about what we expected to need at the end of the deferred maintenance program's 5-year project is that we're setting up ourselves to be in much worse shape in the next few years. And unless you all really think that times are going to be really better, we should not cut this budget anymore this year.
Dave. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you. I asked you a question when we were in the F&I meeting about you have a chart double where you want to maintain 7.5, I believe is the number, and I asked how many roads were at 5, and it was not very many miles of road that were at 5. I was quite surprised. I actually made a comment that I was quite surprised at that. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that. You know, one thing that when the program was set up in 2004, we were paying about $35 a ton for asphalt. Now we're paying over $70. Plus, depending on the month, we have an escalation fee on top of that. I don't have to tell everyone here that the price of oil has gone up from 2004 till the present time. Everything we do in highway is dependent upon oil, whether it's running our trucks, buying sand, buying gravel material, buying asphalt. Everything is dependent upon oil, and that's a big reason why we're starting to fall behind, because our buying power for a dollar has been reduced.
Okay, my point is simply that I don't think we're in quite as bad a shape as we could be, okay?
I'll agree with that.
I have Martha, and then I have Ludland, I have Peter, and I have Carol.
Page 130 of the base book, the base budget for this department without the total, without without anything on this OTR, is 4.17 million. The 2009 actual was 3.5 million. Now, it's also true that the year before was 5.4 million. So it goes up and down. And, you know, in any case, all of this is about the materials for 1 mile of road, which, according to the OTR page, is only 4% of our total program. This is not going to create potholes and where cars are going to disappear into the road. This is not the end of the world. This is what hard choices mean. And we can't keep doing everything that people expect unless people really are willing to pay higher taxes. And I'll point out that there's no state reimbursement. There's no leverage on these dollars at all.
Leibson.
I'd like to call the question.
Is there a second to that? Kathy, second. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. The question has been called. We will vote on the original motion. And all the original right? The original motion was to cut $100,000 from the target. All in favor of the original motion to take away $100,000, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It wins 9-5.
Jim?
Yes?
May I make an uncalled for comment?
I hope
the 100,000 will come out of suspending the Ellis Hollow Road work for a year.
Oh, come on.
Mr. Chair.
I said it was uncalled for.
Yeah.
I'm going to make an uncalled for comment.
Can I make an uncalled for?
If we continue to use babies versus gravel, why don't you put a card, get a card, and we'll know. If you hold up your 3, it's babies versus gravel. If you hold up a 2, it's something versus something else.
We've had homeless cats and homeless people, so now, babies gravel. Yes.
It was short in the meeting. You could just hold up your number. I'd say, oh, there you go. Next one, Tompkins County Public Library.
Mr. Chair, I need to make an uncalled for comment.
What? Oh, we're doing uncalled for comments. Okay.
I had sent an email to my colleague saying I need to be at a cold heart cleanup meeting at this point, and I didn't want things that I'm proposing to happen at that time, and I do need to leave.
And I am going to remove the Tompkins County Library because they're not here to defend themselves.
That was my other question. The library's not
Susan
here.
Curry couldn't
Susan
be
Curry
here, but she could be here for the next 2 meetings.
Onslaught.
Okay, so I'll move it to then. Yeah, I was looking around to see if I saw anybody.
I have a related question. There's a question here, and it would be great if somebody had an opportunity to look into the answer to this so that when we consider it, the appropriate information is available.
You're talking about the library?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, yes.
Say that again? Yes. Leslin, and we will take away we will omit the sheriff for now. Right?
I don't see the sheriff out
there. No, he's not. He's in the driving.
So that's withdrawn also?
Right.
Thank you all for your indulgence. I have to make sure that little children are dying from coal tar.
What?
Thank you.
How about a big
take a card
break
for that?
We'll take 5 minutes till 7:15. And I promise you we're going to end at 8. We're not going past 8.
Sorry.
I'm on the back page here, and I have Lane Robertson Kiefer, McBean Claiborne. She's not here. Kiefer. So whoever wants to.
Here's number one.
Ready, Mike? We're on top of the back page.
I'm not going to move it at this point.
You are not. Okay.
Which one?
And I might add, I think it has a lot to do with the rollover discussion that we had. Although I would like, I'm not sure that the funding is there. We'll look. I might want to move it later. I see there's some other proposals here.
Okay.
But that's the reason. I want to see that we can fund it.
Okay. And how about you are next for youth services?
No. Oh, I thought that's what you're talking about.
No, I was talking about the top one. Adopt the county administrator.
Yeah, I'm not going to move that at this point either. Oh. Unless folks would like to have a discussion about that.
You want to? Anyone? Yeah, Brian.
I guess I was just going to say that discussion might have some bearing on the ones directly below.
Yeah.
All right. Then let me go ahead and do that.
All right.
Maybe it's worth talking about. I'll move that the expanded budget committee adopt the county administrator's budget as the legislature's tentative budget.
Is there a second? Kathy, thank you.
And basically what that would do is the tax rate would be increased, or the tax levy would increase by 5%, and the cuts would be at 6.9% as recommended by the administrator.
Okay. Discussion. Carol, Peter. Look, let me just say, try to limit it to a couple minutes here. I don't want to hear everybody's political philosophy on this. Just try to answer what's going on. Carol, go ahead.
I believe this motion is superfluous because the county administrator's budget, according to our process, will be the default budget if we don't do anything. So it just seems to me to be superfluous to move it now when it essentially is our default position to begin with.
If I may respond... Yeah. May I respond?
Yeah, of course.
It's not superfluous because we would then make an affirmative statement that that is the tentative budget. Yes, it would be a default. If we proceed through and never adopt a budget, then it would automatically default to that. But I'm saying that we do the affirmative thing by this resolution and say, let's adopt it.
Peter, Dave.
I would, before... making up my mind, I don't understand what the meaning of this is. And in particular, I'd like to know, does it obviate everything that we've done earlier? Does it obviate everything we've done earlier today?
Yes, it would.
Yes, it would.
Okay,
thank
you.
Thank you. Dave?
I guess I'm going to pass. I think Peter already.
Martha?
Emergency over here.
So in other words, Mike, your proposal is... Sorry, I thought I'd have two people's worth of time to chew my bagel. Your proposal is that we accept Joe's budget, and that's what goes to public hearing?
Yes.
I think that is not a good idea. I think it is our job to go through this and put our stamp on it. I applaud Joe for squeezing this into 5%, disagree with a number of the decisions, and frankly, I think he does too, but I shouldn't put words in his mouth. But I am, this is our biggest responsibility, and I think we need to go through this.
I have Kathy, Will, Dave.
I seconded this because I figured the discussion would highlight and give some immediacy to the decisions that we're making along the way. This isn't something that we're doing and we'll fix it tomorrow. Every decision that we make could be the budget that we end up with. So we need to think about that when we make these decisions and think about the whole, even as we're pulling at the threads. And I use that analogy deliberately. of this budget and as we build it too.
Thank you. Will?
Well, as tempting as this might be for getting set a bunch of meetings, I think it would be a huge abrogation of our basic responsibility, which is to respond and listen to our communities and the needs that have come forth and make the painful decision. Joe gave his best shot, and I credit him with something, but I think that we are obligated to see if we can't make it in a way that's ultimately going to be the best serving our community. So I will vote against it.
I have Dave, Peter, and Pat.
Okay, I guess what I want to ask is, if we were to adopt Joe's budget as our preliminary budget, anything that we vote on up or down is a modification to that original budget. Is that not correct?
Yeah. At a later point.
I mean now, because we've adopted it.
The meeting would be over. Anything we did prior to his vote would be not a part of the budget. It's Joe's budget that we would be voting on.
It would only be amended after the hearing.
Okay.
Peter.
I'm sorry. I'm going to ask the same question I asked before because I don't understand it. I would like to have you, Mike, if you would, just sketch out what would happen, how the budget process would proceed if indeed your motion passed.
We would stop having these meetings.
Right.
We would then proceed to public hearing. We would then consider this, and it could be amended before final approval.
Right. So then would we have these series of meetings after the public hearing? No, is that correct?
Well, you pretty could, much. I suppose.
You could, but no, they would not be scheduled like they are now. Each one of you would have to bring in a resolution to amend the tentative budget. Am I right? I think. Yeah.
You mean at a regular
At the night you would vote on the budget after the public hearing. The public hearing would be held on the tentative budget, as Mike has suggested, or the county administrator budget.
And then we would actually. So how much time would we have to change that?
Well, you would schedule a legislature meeting, which is already scheduled, and then you would go through the process. I would move the budget, and there would be a second, hopefully, and then you could all knock yourself out and do all the amendments you needed to do that night. And so it could last forever. Or something close to forever. Okay? Pat?
I call the question.
Is there a second to that? All in favor of calling the question, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that right? 8-5. We have called the question. Frank?
The question's been called, as I understand it, on the motion to adopt the county administrator's budget.
That's right.
I will move to postpone indefinitely.
Don't we have to vote on just call the question?
I think we have to vote on it, Frank.
That's the next thing.
Before any other motion. Yes, so all in favor of Mike's resolution, please raise your hand. Opposed, Benny? Everyone else? So it is 12-1. 1-12. 1-12. Nice try, Mike.
Frankly, I didn't expect it would pass.
Oh, sorry.
I thought I might get one or two votes, yeah. But I think it's important. It helps us understand the process, right. and it shows that there is already a major proposal out there for cuts and tax increases.
Thank you. You're next also.
Yeah, and that's the one I don't want to move because I'm not satisfied yet that we have enough funds available to fund it without raising taxes.
Martha?
I will make a motion on youth services, but I have a question first. we're functioning as an expanded budget committee. So is it correct that we still need 8 votes to pass anything, or could it just be 7-5, let's say, if we have enough for 12 people?
Majority of those present.
Yeah, majority of those people here.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Then I would like to move the resolution I have here to restore to with target money $123,780 to municipal youth services.
Is there a second to that? Nathan? Discussion. We'll start with Brian, then Pat, then Kathy.
After my comment, I'm gonna ask that we hear from the appropriate staff person about okay. this, and hopefully she can comment on all of this. Okay. But my question is, where'd you get that figure? What does that figure represent?
I'm looking at. I went to the TCOG meeting. Or the meeting of municipalities about this and asked Nancy what was the actual dollar amount, because there are a number of things in this OTR as it's described, but she clarified that the municipal, as it says on page 100, the municipal youth development program is $247,560. So this is half of that.
Okay.
May I ask you, does this include half of the cooperative extension money?
Well, that's confused me because I don't see that described here anyway. So I don't know where that is. If it is, I don't.
Brian,
I know. And actually, if we could go ahead and have that presentation.
Included in the 247,560. Is money for every municipality plus $46,788 for cooperative extension, which enables the county to pay for about half the cost of coordinators and administrative support to the staff that are located working in 9 rural communities. So it isn't broken out in there, Martha. I have provided it separately and during the budget presentation. So to the question, does it reduce the cooperative extension amount for program support? I'm assuming yes. It would go right down the line. That's why there's another proposal at 147 that would keep that whole.
Right. At that 50K number or close.
Yeah,
to
46.
It.
Yep.
Okay. I have Pat, and then I have Kathy, and Carol. The other people, Carol, Will, and Peter.
One of the things that was discussed at the TCOG meeting had to do with a tentative proposal to identify the costs of certain kinds of core supervisory parts of the program, and perhaps come up with a proposal that the county would try to find the funding to continue to pay for those certain core activities, and that we would look to the towns to come up with the remainder. Has anything happened since that meeting to sort out that figure, and so that we have any idea what that cost might be?
Based on that meeting, follow-up planning with our staffs, and some input from municipalities, what we believe we have is a proposal that can work. If we can't adopt Legislator Kiefer's proposal, which we'd prefer, if the municipalities got half of the allocation back,
which is Martha's,
plus Cooperative Extension got its full allocation of $46,788, which is a reduction from the current amount. We believe that the shortfall can be made up in two ways. Municipalities have indicated, some of them have indicated, we've polled them and we're still getting some responses. Some are indicating a willingness to increase somewhat. None have indicated the willingness or ability to completely replace the county dollars. But some are willing to make up that shortfall with local dollars. And we, our department, in collaboration with Cooperative Extension, are proposing that we would help each of the communities to raise the balance needed, a total of $80,000 in increased fees, grants, fundraising. Community by community have a plan to help them raise the difference of what's needed. So 127 would be the very, very minimum that municipalities would need, and the 46 is what we believe the minimum needed for extension would be, with the balance to come from municipalities from a combination of municipal taxes, increased fees, and fundraising.
Nancy, may I ask you one question?
Can I,
a couple down, it's 147, 147, that would be, that was Lessons, and that's the full shot in extension plus what you were, Martha was talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask. Does that proposal, 147, 147, represent what you're talking about?
Yes. Okay. That we consider to be the bare minimum, where municipalities would have to make up 50% of the cost that you're just cutting out now, and that we would be able to maintain supervision and bookkeeping needed by the towns who are contracting with Cooperative Extension.
And may I ask another question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Has there been any further discussion about the remainder of the recommendation, the proposal that Don had kind of spelled out at the bottom of the letter that was sent inviting people to the meeting, where we look ahead toward some kind of an agreement and an MOU? Has there been any more discussion of further down the road, or are we only?
I think there is a great deal of openness to that. We haven't, since last Thursday, convened people to start those discussions. The focus has been, because of this deadline, on this short-term proposal, and I believe there is interest and goodwill in planning for the future.
Okay. But I would like to move to amend Martha's motion to change the figure to the 147, 147.
I have a question. Sorry,
excuse me. Jeff?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but can I get an understanding of the numbers, though?
I think it's the wrong number.
I took down notes that 247,560 is the program cost. So the
program
suggestion is
including Cooperative Extension.
Including the Cooperative
yes.
Extension. So it's not plus the Cooperative Extension. That is inclusive
right.
of.
Includes.
Got it. Then that answers my question.
Okay. Now let me go back to my list. I had Kat Carol
no,
Will.
Well, I made a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. The 147, 147.
Which I, if that's the correct figure for what Nancy's been describing,
I think the math is wrong. I'm no rocket scientist, but
yeah.
I think it should be 147, 174.
147,
174.
Okay, then it's just a mistake on the paper here. So that's what I'm proposing,
okay,
147, 174.
So, Frank, discussion now. We'll go back and we'll start over on this amendment. Kathy, go right down the
thank you. In looking at the proposed motions, I see that Legislator McBean Claiborne has two separate motions. One involves $35,000 for the Learning Web. She lists it as OTR 16 and 120. In looking at those, I see under OTR 120, number 11 appears to refer to the Learning Web's funding. One of my concerns is that this synergy with the Learning Web and the apprenticeship program might be lost in the process of our machinations here. And I'm also concerned because Legislator McLean-Claiborne, I think, has a pretty good understanding among those of us around the table about how these work. I'm not proposing that we postpone it. However, I do want to assure ourselves that any change that we make, particularly if we should be considering a drastic reduction like this that involves asking for contributions from the municipalities, also take into account the synergies with other groups such as the Learning Web. So if I could amend an amendment, oh, I can.
Yes.
So at this time, I'd like to propose amending that amendment, the 147-174, to add $35,000 for the Learning Web. And I'd like to get a second. I just want to make sure that...
Excuse me, but I don't think we can amend an amendment.
You can't amend an amendment to an amendment.
It was worth a try. At least everybody knows what I'm talking about, and I hope you think about it.
An amendment to an amendment. And so maybe we'll go around at some point and do that. We're going down the room. Kathy, Frank?
Nance, would you mind taking the mic again? I just want to make sure I understand the numbers. The one that we just did, 147-174, represents the county's contribution, could represent the county's potential contribution, but it requires the participating municipalities that have contracts with cooperative extension to buy in at whatever the formula they agree to. And that came out of a TCOG meeting subsequent to the one we had last week?
No, part of what this does, for those who were able to be at that meeting, we distributed a spreadsheet that said,
right,
if you cut across the board for the total 247 by varying amounts, 247, 560, Cooperative Extension will end up being cut. Since Cooperative Extension can't provide adequate supervision and administrative support without that full piece, the cost to replace the county cut would have to be borne by each of the municipalities, increasing the share they had to find. So there was that column.
Right. Okay.
This 147 eliminates the need to pass that cost on to municipalities. It asks the county to maintain at $46,788 the county's full support for that cooperative extension support.
Okay, a couple more questions. Are you comfortable with the discussions you've had with the towns that are participating that for the remaining balance that they're on board?
The feedback that we're getting seems to be, and we haven't heard from everybody and everybody's at slightly different places, but it seems to be that between some local increase of the municipal budgets will be forthcoming in some communities, and to make up the balance, there is interest and commitment in most that we have heard from, to working with our staff and extension on redesigning programs that may allow for more revenue to be raised from fees without excluding children, more grant writing, more fundraising to generate a bigger piece of the pie from non-governmental sources.
Okay.
So I think they are willing to do that plan.
Just let me keep going, Jim. So any recommendation we make or any resolution we perhaps pass ought to be contingent on them finalizing something so we know what the number is that they're willing and in what manner they're willing to make a contribution, because at this point it sounds like it's still under discussion.
Well, yeah, I think that in the last 4 days they have not figured out how to fill a $123,000 hole collectively. And I don't think, frankly, they will figure that out in the next month or so. part of what we had actually liked to ask for is some one-time money to give them the time to do a very significant restructuring. The proposal here is to completely change a 20-year relationship.
Yeah, the manner in
one
which
doesn't
the
do that in a couple of months. Okay. So I would say make a good faith effort. I think they're planning to make a good faith effort, but it will take most of 2011 to get it done.
Okay. I just have two more questions, Jim. This proposal, as we've got on the floor now, does not include the Learning Web piece, does it?
No, because we knew Leslin had a separate proposal
okay.
for that.
Just to address, since we yes. couldn't amend the amendment.
But I can amend it.
But at least, and Kathy's losing her voice. I just want to make sure that we have another bite at the apple if we mm-hmm. want to do that. Last question.
Yes, sir.
In all these discussions, there's a commitment or tacit commitment to do some fundraising.
Yes.
And other than governmental resources. With all due respect to Nancy Zaylor, our new youth services director is sitting right in back of you.
That's why I can make the promise.
Yeah, you can make you can make the promises. I want to know if she's prepared to deliver on them. Sorry to put you on the spot, Amy.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable having Nancy speak for you?
Yeah, I'm comfortable. After talking with the towns and hearing about it, I think that we can all work together on fundraising and other sources.
Did you get a commitment out of Nancy for her to stick around as a volunteer?
She's noncommittal.
Thanks.
But I've noticed a lot of fundraisers.
Down this side, there was anybody had their hand up?
I did.
Okay, now this is on the 147-174, right?
Right.
Is that what you're talking about, Carol?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
So I have a question. I just want to make sure the city portion is included in there. That is not, even though it's run sort of slightly differently.
The proposal would reduce by 50% the amount of county money made available to the city.
Okay. Equally, proportionally yes. with the other programs. Okay. But the Learning Web, I'm kind of dismayed that the Learning Web is not part of this package.
That's right.
Because I think it's going to be hard. I will point out that even if we point this package, we can do more later, either on youth services, on this program itself, and or on the Learning Web. I'm concerned that we won't. I also want to know, I have two other questions. Are there transition dollars built into our budget? Are there transition dollars built into the administrator's budget, either under this OTR 121 or 23 that say program transitions,
no.
or in the 9,000 that was not accepted, maintaining a smaller youth services safety net, that would have addressed any of this?
No, I don't think so.
We have no transition dollars are recommended for the municipal system, where there were rollover dollars requested and recommended were in our planning and coordination and in the agency grants, because the cuts there, and we were using rollover dollars to try to sustain during 11 while the youth board, the new director and the staff all figure out a new set of priorities for 2012. That's where we were building some transition
transitions in. With our own staff transitions, not transitions for this program.
Not for this, no. It was completely eliminated, and the rollover that we requested for this program was denied.
Okay, and then that brings us to our staff. So I'd be in favor of restoring all of this and increasing the target, and, you know, but I don't know that that's going to ultimately be supported. It looks like
You get a chance to vote.
So I'm reluctant to cut, approving this is essentially cutting the program delivery portion of this that happens out in the field by half. And I'm reluctant to do that without taking on a piece of that ourselves.
in terms, you and I have talked about this, Nancy. I know it's not an easy thing to think about, but whether we shouldn't take a commensurate cut to our own staff in order to be able to put more money into the program out in the field rather than.
Carol, why don't you make a proposal?
Yeah, yeah, you got to.
Well,
gotta.
I understand that I can't amend an amendment, so I want to know if that was considered to step up with anything in terms of our own staff time in order to maintain any other pieces of this.
Want me to respond to that relative to the motion to amend?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Not in terms of the 147, no. Or the
yeah.
147,
no. 174.
No, actually, the thinking behind it is to figure out how to close what will be a $123,000 gap, because that's the program money that will be cut. Our staff is going to work harder than they have ever worked before, with each community trying to figure out a plan in collaboration with Extension and the youth commissions and the municipalities to figure out how to build a plan that can be implemented to keep the system whole. So they're going to be busier than ever.
Let me repeat that we're going to stop at 8. So I'm hoping we can get a vote out of here on something. Anyone else down this side? We're coming around the room.
Thank you, Jim, and I'll make it quick. Cognizant of the time, if my understanding is correct, Nancy, this amendment that would essentially allow it to survive, everybody looking down the list realizes there will be another opportunity to consider this, which is to keep it essentially closer to whole, which would be the Julie. I'm going to vote for this amendment just because I want to have something coming out of tonight.
Brian?
Thanks. Before I get going, I want to know how many questions I'm going to be allowed.
Well, that's one.
Okay. I'll make it only two then. I think in the interest of negotiations, first of all, we spent quite a bit of time saving $240,000 earlier, and my belief is it's for things just like this. There's been very good negotiation that's gone on with these youth services. The towns are going to now have to take some ownership into their own programs in terms of funding, in terms of what programs they want to keep, what they don't. So in essence, the figure we have could actually go down if towns aren't willing to fund or no longer want as many programs as they have.
Oh, yeah.
So the negotiation, I think, anyways, this is the kind of stuff that we're here for. And I applaud you, Nancy, for doing that. And if I could, I've asked two questions now, and if I could, I would ask another one that would end this discussion, but I can't.
Anyone else? We're going right across the back. Go ahead, Martha, then Mike, and then up the side.
Nancy, I thought I heard you say that the 46,788 for Cooperative Extension is half the amount needed for that Cooperative Extension work.
Because we have a partnership, the county pays about half the cost needed, and the municipalities in each of their contracts pays a share that adds up to the other half.
Okay. So if we were to cut, so if we didn't add this back to 147, then the county would be paying like a quarter of that.
Correct.
Chunk. I see. Okay.
Mike.
I'm going to support this amendment to 147, 174, and my hope is that all the municipalities will pony up and join in, but I would also say I'm comfortable with this amount of money and whatever the amount, that 123, that goes to the actual program in the municipalities, even if only half of those municipalities actually show up and put their money into it, then I'd be happy for our money to leverage that much in those municipalities that do put their money into it. So I'm comfortable with that amount of money going to the direct programs, and as many municipalities as show up, they divide up what it is, and y'all figure out how to do that. So,
Mike,
but I also want to say I'm pleased that Learning Web is not in here. I think it's a discrete program. I think it needs to be a separate one.
Mike. I'm less confident than Brian or Martha about what the reaction by the municipalities will be. If we put out this $147,000 tonight, there will be no incentive for them to do much of anything. I really believe that. And if they, I don't think we should make this a promise unless it is contingent, as Frank suggested, on the agreement with the municipalities for them to step forward. I remember the recreation partnership and how long that took and the variations and when the county was trying to get out of that. We still aren't out of it. And I believe there has to be a carrot here for the municipalities to come on board. I can't make that amended motion, which I would do, something similar to what I had thought about proposing before, put it into contingency or something, to give them the incentive to come forward. Not to say that, well, we're going to apply for a grant, not to say that we're going to work harder and try to maybe raise a couple of fees, but to say, yes, we're willing to step forward and put some money into this.
We're coming up.
Fine.
You want to comment now?
I want to just clarify, because I don't want there to be any misunderstanding at all tonight. Municipalities have been, and by all indications, will continue in 2011 to maintain their current level of support, which collectively adds up to over $295,000 on their part, which in my view is a significant commitment. Their commitment has increased since 2003 to 2010, has increased by 23%. So for those, compared to the county's increase of 9%. So they have been, each time this legislature has maintained a flat budget or reduced funds, they have stepped up. And I believe that A, shows good faith, it B, shows they have the match to draw this down, and C, from their responses, indicates a commitment to maintaining youth programs and doing the work that it takes at either the municipal and or community level. But thank you. I just want to make sure.
Anyone over here? Peter, and now we'll come up to you.
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion that I am allowed to make, and I'd like to talk to that. The motion is to postpone. That takes precedence over amendments. And I'd like to explain why I want to do that. I, too, is at that. It has to
you
be
have a second.
Right.
Is there a second to postpone, Mike?
And this sort of follows what Mike said. I was at that meeting also. I have not been in the subsequent meetings, but the meeting I was at, I heard we can pony up to $50,000. That's all. There's no more. That's what I heard at that meeting a week or a week and a half ago. It's time flies by when you're having fun. But the argument has been made that the county has been decreasing and the towns have not, and so that somehow we are not living up to our share of the bargain. And if this is a conventional business deal, it's absolutely right. On the other hand, the reason we're not living up to our share of the bargain, the reason that Joe took this cut was that I believe that we are being much more stressed this year than the municipalities are. The city tax levy increase was, I forget what, but it's under 3%, I believe. And we're going to have a tax levy increase of more than twice that. And this has to do, we all know what this has to do with. It has to do with the vagaries of the laws in the state of New York. So I believe that a maintenance of effort, a fair maintenance of effort with the municipalities at this point is that they should be paying more than we are because we're more stressed. And it financially. And
how is this about postponement?
What? This is postponement because the reason, let me explain why, is that I am not convinced that we're going to see more than $50,000. And I would like to see the money before we vote for this. So I would like to postpone this as long as possible to see exactly what the municipalities are willing to do. I think I would be willing to match it in some sense, but I would like to see it ponied up. And if, in fact, it isn't, that's an indication of how important I think the municipalities think these programs are. So that's my motion.
Do we get to speak to the postponement?
I'm sorry?
Is there discussion?
Yeah. All
right. Can I get on the list?
I think I was next.
Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I would like to encourage us to vote against Peter's motion. A lot of things can happen in a week or a week and a half, and I can speak from the point of view of people in Lansing and saying that I attended a meeting of the town board last night, and prior to the town board meeting, I've spoken to a number of town board members, and I do know that, that at least out in Lansing, they are planning to do, they have put the money into their tentative budget to match what they had in it last year. Now, they have not taken their final budget vote, but that's clearly that what they intend to do. And I have no reason to doubt the description that Nancy has given us of exactly what's happening out in the towns. She's in very close touch with the towns on this and has been working with them, I'm sure, on a daily basis. And I suspect that what's happening in Lansing is also happening in the other towns. When you're dealing with an issue like this where you have so many people involved, I think that when you come to the table, there has to be a certain amount of good faith among the people that are at the table. And I think that the group of people that came together at TCOG have shown that, and I think that our partners in this effort will continue to show it. And I hope that we defeat Peter's motion and vote on the resolution as it was proposed to be amended. Thank you.
I have Dooley next, and then we're back over here, Nate, and then Will.
I speak against this motion. I think that it's important that we show some forward motion on this subject to go along with what the municipalities are considering individually right now. And I'd like to be on the list after this gets defeated to talk about what we were coming around on earlier.
Nate.
Can I go next? I'm just doing some math real quick.
Okay. Will, then we'll go back to
I was going to call the question, but...
Oh, okay. No, I
would yield back to Nate if he had math.
Oh, God, I haven't had enough time. But with Peter, I'm having trouble with your assertion there, because basically what's happening right now is that we're paying maybe, what, 47% of the cost of this program, right? Now, by us scaling down to $147,000, now the towns are going to be paying a share of what? 147 plus 290, whatever. They're paying what? 65-70% plus of the share of the program, right? Or even more than that, actually. It's more than that. And so they're paying a greater share of the program, and they'll likely, as we've talked about just now, they'll likely recognize that that's not enough and contribute through grant monies or whatever, an additional. So it's very likely that but through the end of this process, that the towns and the city and other municipalities will be paying up to 80 or 90% of the cost of this program. And I think that is a very significant contribution on their part.
Back to you. Back to you, Will.
Call the question.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thanks, Brian.
this is on the postponement? No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we have to vote on calling the question. How many people are in? Raise your hand if you're in favor of calling the question. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1.
Where's your microphone?
11 opposed. 11 for calling the question, and 1 for against. Right? Okay. Oh, 11. Sorry. All right. So the question has been called, and the question is Peter's question about postponement. All in favor of Peter, do you have a date that you would pick that up?
We have three more scheduled meetings.
Indefinite postponement to be brought up whenever it's appropriate.
All right, all in favor of Peter's resolution, indefinite postponement of the issue of youth services funding by the county legislature. Raise your hand, please. One, two, three. Opposed. All the rest. 10-3. And postponement is defeated. We're back to the main motion, I believe.
Amendment. The amendment.
Kevin? The amendment to the main motion, which was changing the funding from Martha's 123 to 147, 174.
And the main motion was the 123.
Right.
Thank you.
So we're at, the discussion is the 147, 174. And now Martha had her hand up first, and then we'll go to Julie and then Carol.
If it makes it any easier, if it makes it any easier, the 147, 174 is friendly, and I would accept that as the main motion. I don't remember who seconded it. And I would urge us that we do this. I think this is...
How about the seconder?
Was I the seconder?
Which was me.
I think Frank was the seconder.
Is that Nathan. Friendly, Frank?
No, Nathan
was the seconder.
Nathan?
Oh, I was the seconder? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's so weird. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's friendly. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, and if I can speak to it.
Martha?
I really think we should do this. This is just a commitment that I think we should make. And, I wish it could be more. I think, you know, the towns will realize that we can't do everything that we've been doing. I think they will, my sense is they'll appreciate this level of funding. And they will step up. And I'm very pleased about not postponing. I think this is something we should. We've already heard a concern about that we're playing games about this, that there's some, you know, setup or something. And I think if we just say no, here's our money, this is what's on the table, and we approve this, I think that's what we need to do tonight.
Okay, Kathy.
Frank, I'm being encouraged to amend this for the Learning Web, but I'm going to have faith that we'll have a full discussion and a supportive one on that later.
Absolutely. The Learning Web? Mm-hmm. Yes, we will.
Thank you.
Okay. Frank Dooley.
My understanding is this will not become effective anyway until we vote on a final budget. So there's more opportunity to discuss this anyway, and certainly the municipalities are now aware of what we are willing to put on the table. So regardless of what any further discussion permits, where we've made the initial offer here, if you will.
I like your right side when you're over here, Frank. Dooley.
Pat and I collaborate.
I thank Martha for accepting that as friendly. My view of this is it's important for us to get something out to indicate that we think this is a valuable program. It's not at the level I would like. Another possibility is, as we hear back anything from municipalities, and I haven't heard anything from mine yet, that we could put the rest of what we would have done if Joe hadn't made the cut, in as one-time money to allow the municipalities more time to deal with this instead of having sprung it on them so late in the year. And I guess I hold that out as something I may move rather than going to my full one now.
That would be good. Brian?
I'd like to call a question.
Second.
All right. All in favor of calling a question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay. And opposed? The question has been called. And the question is to add 147, 174 to the county budget.
Target.
For your service.
Target.
Motion, target.
For youth service.
All in favor of adding the 147 and 174 as target, raise your hand, please. Opposed. One opposed. So 13 zip, and 147 is back in the budget, And in the words of Tom Cruise, show me the money.
Actually, that was Cuba Gooding Jr.
That's right. Is there a motion to adjourn? Second. All in favor, 6-5 or 6-9? All right.
Yeah, that was good.